If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Once again, boys and girls, we begin our show with our weekly salute to the week that was. Run to the window, throw open the sash, and let's all join Johnny. And a round of applause for Bruce Springsteen.
Now you know where to go when you need a friend. Well, just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right.
Okay, we're on pins and needles watching to see if Big Plug Bob is going to have to leave the studio or if he's at... are you committed to the mission?
I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Big Plug Bob. and chortling Ron.
Oh, it's off to a good start.
I'm just so happy to get here tonight because there's a festival around every corner, it seems.
Yeah, and we've got the concert, big Beyonce concert going on.
Really now?
Yeah.
Let us turn to Big Plug Bob on that subject because we're happy he made it in tonight, right, Bob?
Yeah, I got off the Dan Ryan and started to head towards DuSable Lakeshore Drive. Mm-hmm. And there was about a mile and a half backup, so I was like, well, forget that. So I jumped on King Drive and then snaked over to Michigan Avenue. And then other than the stoplight at Michigan and Roosevelt, where they were stopping it for a long time to let people walk.
Oh.
So the light that would normally be just a stoplight was like, forget it.
That's a technical term.
Yeah. So other than that.
But you did notice that unlike the crowd going to the Beyonce concert, there were like a dozen buses.
Oh, at least.
So they were headed toward McCormick Place.
McCormick Place for the restaurant show.
Yeah, timing. All of that happening within the same vicinity.
And it may just be me, but I don't think there was a whole lot of publicity about the restaurant show. Was there, Ron?
I don't think so, no.
And of course, tomorrow is the half marathon. Let's just keep...
What?
You know, yeah.
This is the spot to be, I'm telling
you. Yeah.
But by the way, for those of you who were at the Beyonce concert over the past couple of nights, or will be there tomorrow night, you should give a round of applause to our own Big Plug Bob. Because what did you do?
I did some frequency coordination for the event.
Yeah, that's code.
Yeah.
Frequency coordination
really
for
important.
Beyonce.
Yeah.
Wink, wink,
yeah.
wink.
Well, just for her aerial. You know.
Just for her
for
aerial?
Aerial.
Oh, wait a minute. We're, you're digging it deeper, Bob.
That's all.
There's a good story in there somewhere.
Yes, there is.
Somewhere.
And then he followed it with, I've got Shakira ready, too, when she comes to town.
Goodness.
I'm like, wow. We're not worthy.
I'm going to have to start following him around.
Do they know that you're Big Plug Bob? Is that how you got the gig?
No, the guy who was asking me normally goes through a different guy, but he's since
okay.
passed.
Ah.
So my friend recommended me because I do it for the Bears.
So. And so what you're doing is you're clearing the frequency so the planes can fly over Soldier Field,
and
right?
Send video back
and send
down.
Video back down.
On a 7 gigahertz link.
Yeah, I knew that. 7 gigahertz link.
Of course. So
is that the video that people who are in the audience will see on the big screen?
Right. When they fly, if they do a flyover.
Oh,
or
they should, Bob. Yeah. Because if they're in the cheap seats, that's what they're counting
so
on.
So
a
round
is the
of
video.
Applause for Bob.
Yes.
There you go.
He's probably going to get something from the Queen Bee.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Where were you guys during the haboob? I just like saying the haboob. Well, it's just so silly for something that's so serious. Where were you when it happened yesterday?
I don't know. Where was
it? In fact, later tonight, we're going to be joined by Consumer Guides publisher Tom Appel.
Yes.
Who was posting pictures of what he was seeing
in the northwest
when
suburbs,
the haboob
yeah.
happened.
Yeah. Ron, where were you when the sandstorm / haboob occurred?
Storm. I was up here. I was getting ready to go home, and I was looking out and going, like, what is happening here? I mean, we had the alert, so I knew what it was, but
yeah.
it was still hard to believe.
Did your heart stop when you got the alert?
Well, it was like, this is on, it wasn't Kankakee, but it was pretty far south that it came from. And I'm like, well, yeah, there will be dust storms off the fields. I've seen those before, and they're pretty bad, but to get all the way up here in Chicago,
yeah.
that was.
The first time ever.
Yeah, first time ever
yeah.
I
in
saw
Chicago.
That kind of alert on
yeah.
my phone.
But I'm sure I wasn't the only one. When your phone started alerting, you go to the phone with fear and trepidation.
Yeah.
Like, what is it going to be?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
The farmers were like, well, there goes the first inch of topsoil.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it was
yep.
the dry conditions yep. south of us just picked up all of that dust.
Yeah, it was like driving, you know, during the winter where you see a snowstorm, except it was not snow.
Mm-mm.
Definitely not snow.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder if Beyonce is ever going to want to perform at Soldier Field again, because the first night,
yes.
that hellacious storm, and she doesn't start till 11-ish.
After 10, yeah.
And then the next night with the...
The haboob and people
yeah.
saying, I'm all gritty. I don't like this. Because seriously, I couldn't believe the people that were standing outside going, this is cool, taking pictures. And then afterwards they went, ow, my eyes. Ooh, and my teeth. Because if you're out there talking in it, it's going to get all over
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the technical term is haboob, which I had to look up. It's an Arabic word for blowing, drifting. Basically, it's to describe sandstorms in the Sudan.
Yeah. I'm going to have to watch Lawrence of Arabia again and see if they use that word.
Yeah.
Because you need to sleep? Is that why?
No, that's a great movie.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Oh.
So you're the one who likes it.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Really?
That was one of the many things that Johnny and I bonded on after we were married. We didn't know that neither of us liked 2001.
No.
Oh, love that movie, too.
Really?
Lawrence of Arabia. And what was the other one?
The one with Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah.
Wearing the robes. She looked like she was so out of place.
Yeah.
It was another one. It was a snoozer.
Was it the Shakespearean?
Yeah, I think it was.
Doggone it. I can see her.
The Lion in Winter?
That's
yes.
it. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that was it.
Yes. Did you love that one, too, Ron?
No, I'm not a big Shakespeare fan, so.
Okay. But
he always had nice things to say about you.
But if they'd have said it, you know, on board a spaceship or maybe in the desert,
yes.
that might have made it
or
more interesting.
If they'd had a couple musical numbers, it would have been really cool.
Yeah.
You know, let's update this. Oh, gosh. We have a big show coming up tonight. Speaking of music, we're going to be talking to one of our favorite people, Miss Susie Boggess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also speaking of music, but this may be a little different for our second guest, Steve Sanders.
You all remember
Steve. Who
you
watched for many, many years on Channel 9.
Yeah, from 82 to 2000.
He's got himself a rock and roll group, and they got some stuff going on, and he's going to join us a little later tonight.
He's living his best life playing guitar. And, so I'm happy we were able to track him down so he could talk to us about this benefit concert that his group is going to be doing on Wednesday. And he's probably listening now saying, well, it's not just my group. We know that, Steve, but you're the star.
Yes.
You're the man with the name. So
he's the one with the cape.
That's right. He doesn't know it, but he is. And we've got Car Night tonight, too, with Tom Appel, and a lot to talk about.
And one of your another one of your gluten-free recipes for the month of May.
Tonight, it is the lemon cake that I brought in for the gang.
Very good, too.
Yeah. Nice and moist, isn't it?
It was.
It's like you need to wash your hands after you eat it. You're all sticky.
I loved it.
Well, good. Thank you. It is the, I call it the copycat Starbucks lemon loaf. And for anybody who's addicted to the lemon loaf at Starbucks, my girlfriend texted me the other day and said, there's a woman in Starbucks and she's having a meltdown because they have run out of lemon cake and I'm scared, but I've got to get my Frappuccino so I can't get out of line. And I thought, oh, that inspires me. I should make my copycat version of that cake. That means it has no gluten, but it's just as yummy. And that woman would probably stand in line for it, too. We hope that you will stick around tonight. 312-981-7200 is our number. A whole lot more coming up here on WGN.
Some folks know about it, some don't.
Some don't.
Some will learn to shout it, some won't.
Some won't.
But sooner or later, baby, here's a ditty. Say you're gonna have to get right down to the real nitty gritty. Let's get right down to the real nitty gritty. Now, one, two, nitty gritty. Now, yeah, boom, nitty gritty. Ooh, wee.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. So we're talking about the nitty gritty.
The haboob.
From the haboob. And see, I think Beyonce should have done that song.
Yes!
That would have been so cool.
She could have done a good job of that, too.
I know she could have, yeah. That was Shirley Ellis. I love that.
She's
That's
the
one
name
of those...
game, right?
Yeah.
Shirley Ellis.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, speaking of words, during that break, Big Plug Bob said, I wonder why it wasn't called a Scirocco. And I said,
And you say that, and I immediately think of the Volkswagen Scirocco.
And apparently that's another word for a dust storm, but I did not hear a soul. Because it's not as funny as haboob, right? Scirocco is...
Haboob, just kind of...
yes. Okay. Nitty gritty.
So, Julian, were you caught by the haboob last night?
No, I stayed deep inside my man cave.
Yeah? Did you know what was going on?
I got the alert, the thing that traumatizes you, but...
Yeah. Yes, it does.
And then when I got to my car, I thought, whoa, what happened to my car when I got to it today? And then I remembered, oh, there was a haboob yesterday.
You were parked outside.
Yeah, I don't have a garage like most people do.
Oh. Well, there's a family with, if you got more than two cars, like on our block, I think each house has six or eight cars.
Yeah.
We look out the window and go, when did our block turn into a parking lot? It's crazy. Speaking of cars, I do want to mention, as we were headed toward Lakeshore Drive tonight, we typically go down Hollywood, traveling east. We cross Clark Street, and tonight at Clark and Hollywood, the road is closed.
So you have to turn south, and you head down Ashland, and we wound up taking
Clark,
it down
too.
To Bryn Mawr.
Oh.
And, in fact, if you look at the pictures, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and you will see there are some pictures of our different route tonight.
Yes, and then traveling down Bryn Mawr, which is a two-lane road.
Why is Bryn Mawr...
a two-lane road.
Now, once you get across
Glenwood? Is it Broadway? Broadway. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's great once you cross.
Then it turns a little wider, but yeah. Boy.
Yeah. You,
east or west of Broadway.
We stopped at a stop sign. I said, is it helping that I'm sucking in? Because I kept going, because we are so tight there. But yeah, once you cross, they've been doing so much construction on Bryn Mawr east of Broadway, and it's lovely. I mean, the road is in great shape. I said we should have headed on down to Foster, but we got a couple of different pictures, and I posted pictures on our way to work tonight, and some of those that have to be there, like the Drake Hotel. I didn't put the Drake up last week, and people said, where's the Drake? What happened to the Drake?
Did somebody take the Drake?
So I included it. So you can see our drive to work pictures on our Steve and Johnny Show page on Facebook.
And if you look at the picture of... it's a picture of me driving inside the car. And no, our car doesn't have the kind of an interesting... sort of a tan interior. That was it. Must have just been from the sun or from the light overhead that was reflecting inside the car.
Just to show you, though, that the road was blocked at Clark Street for a festival. Listener says that there is a big festival in Skokie, and today's Armed Forces Day today too. So, well, we will be right back.
And when we get back, you were going to share a really, really good gluten-free recipe?
Yes, I will do that. So stay with us here on WGN.
When I was just a lad of 10, my father said to me, come here and take a lesson from the lovely lemon tree. Don't put your faith in love, my boy, my father said to me. I fear you'll find that love is like the lovely lemon tree. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flowery sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flowery sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. A little bit of Trini Lopez.
That was a hit for him, too.
Oh, yeah. And you know who discovered and was first to record Trini Lopez?
No.
Frank Sinatra.
Really?
It was shortly after Frank had formed his Reprise record label. And he was, the story I heard was that he was at, some friends brought Frank to PJ's, which was a club in the Los Angeles, and he saw Trini Lopez. He was impressed and signed him to the contract, and they had a great relationship. And Trini had tons and tons of hit records. And one of the things, and I know I'm sidetracking because we're
you're webbing. You're webbing.
I am. One of the things that I was impressed. One of the many things that about Frank Sinatra that impressed me, when he started his own record label, he mandated that all of the artists on his record label would own their own masters.
Oh, that's huge.
That was a really, that was one of the reasons he started his, because he had been very successful with Capitol Records, but he wanted a little better deal for the artists, so he figured, well, I'm going to start my own company. He did, and the rest is history.
It seems appropriate you should mention Frank Sinatra, because today is Rat Pack Day.
I didn't know that.
Yes,
okay.
Today is Rat Pack Day. Why is it Rat Pack Day? It's a perfect day to take a little time off and dig into your closets, your garages, and other storage spaces if you are a hoarder.
Yeah.
But it's because the Rat Pack got together for the first time in the studio on this day.
How cool.
So you didn't even know that you were going in the right direction.
Well, good.
But
I was also heading in the direction of lemon goodies, and I'm looking at the picture. If you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, Johnny just posted a link to our blog, and she will share the rest of the goodness. But I want scratch and sniff social media pages.
Well, I brought in a selection of two things that I baked today. One is brownies. Everybody makes brownies. These are gluten-free. And the other one is the recipe that we're featuring tonight for Celiac Awareness Month, because it is the lemon pound cake. As I mentioned earlier, it is a copycat of what you would get at Starbucks.
Right. But it's all gluten-free.
People get addicted to.
And if you click on the picture link on our Facebook page, it will take you to our blog. And the other pictures that you will see on our blog will make you equally hungry.
Just a plate of sugar. It was like, oh, that looks good. The lighting was just right. And then zesting the lemon. And I wanted to include the pictures with the recipe because, for example, when you're zesting, a lot of folks don't understand or realize that if you are too... if you use too much strength when you're zesting, you end up with the white, the pithy part of the lemon, and that's very bitter, and that could ruin your whole recipe. I mean, you have to toss it out. It's so bitter. And so I was just wanted to give you an example. So if you're new to this, it's not so scary for you to take on a recipe. And what we're doing for this month of May, Celiac Awareness, as opposed to having a guest on talking about celiac, we thought, well, we would just share a recipe once every Saturday night in the month of May and give you all of the directions, including pictures. So if you want to bake and cook for yourself or a family member, or if you haven't invited friends over because they are gluten-free, now you have options, things that you could bake for them and surprise them. So this is the copycat Starbucks lemon loaf. And as I say in the recipe, the neat thing about this recipe is you just need one mixing bowl, your measuring cups and spoons, and a whisk or a fork. You do not need a mixer, which is great because I hate to pull out the mixer and then have to wash it afterwards. So three large eggs, a cup of white granulated sugar, a cup of sour cream or plain Greek yogurt, a half a cup of vegetable oil, and 2 tablespoons of fresh lemon zest. And you'll need at least 2 small lemons. And lemons are really good and not terribly expensive. I mean, I'm getting the seedless lemons, and gosh, you could almost put the whole thing in a blender and whip it up. I just don't know how bitter it would be, but I'm told that it can make a pretty yummy drink additive. Okay, 2 tablespoons of lemon extract, which I point out you can find in the same aisle, probably on the same shelf where you find vanilla extract. 1.5 cups of gluten-free all-purpose flour, but if you're not cooking or baking gluten-free, just use your regular old flour. 2 teaspoons of baking powder and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. For the glaze, I use the juice of the zested lemons. Mix that juice with powdered sugar, and you want to put enough sugar, because you can never have too much, you want to have enough sugar so that it's a thick glaze. It's not a runny glaze. It's a thick, creamy glaze. And preheat your oven to 350. You can use 1 loaf pan, or as I did today, I used 2 medium loaf pans. You could use 4 mini loaf pans. And you spray your pan or you grease up those pans, and you just simply mix all this goodness together. Your first step is and I specifically explained to you about muddling the sugar with the lemon zest and how you do that. Super simple. You just put the lemon zest in the sugar and you take the back of a spoon and you press it till the lemon oils come out in the sugar. And it makes a big difference in your recipe. And it's just one tiny little step you're taking. So you're pressing the oils out of the zest and you're flavoring the sugar, which, by the way, if you put sugar in your iced tea and you like lemon in your tea, try that sometime. Muddle the sugar with the lemon and oh my, that is a great addition too. So you put the muddled sugar in a large mixing bowl. You add your eggs, your sour cream or yogurt, or a combination of those, so that you have 1 cup. You add your oil, which you have put your lemon extract into. You whisk it up until it's nice and blended and combined. Stir in your flour, baking powder, and salt. You may have a few small lumps, but that's okay because, again, you're not using a mixer. You pour the batter into your loaf pans. You bake for 50 minutes if you're using 1 large loaf pan, 40 to 45 for 2 medium pans. And if you're using the minis, about 30 minutes, you should have all 4 of the minis done. You do a toothpick test to be sure that it's baked on the inside. It should be golden brown on the outside, as you'll you'll see in the picture. When the loaves are done and you remove them from the oven, you let them cool for at least 15 minutes in their pan, and then you pop them out and let them cool a little bit longer once you've taken them out of the pan, because you don't want the glaze to melt when you pour it on top. Then you pour the glaze on the top, and be generous. Just keep pouring that glaze until you've got every little crevice of the lemon loaf covered with that yummy. How could something that simple be so tasty? Lemon juice and powdered sugar. Oh, my. It's such a good combination. So when you're all done, you just let it sit. I keep our lemon cakes in the refrigerator because there are no preservatives, and it stays nice and moist because the glaze certainly helps. And enjoy. That's simple.
And you can see that recipe. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. Or if you are one of the many people who are no longer on Facebook and you want to just check it out from our blog, go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com and spell Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-I-E. So steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And that will be right at the top. That's the most recent post we have on our blog. By the way, we shall have, I'm segueing a little bit, but I'm signaling for a turn. We shall have some new videos that will be posted on our blog very shortly. Correct, Julian?
That is correct.
And I think we're going to start with, because we had such a reaction to Nikki O'Neill last week, and Nikki and Rich. So I think we're going to start with those videos. And
sounds good. Yes.
So that will also be, that'll probably happen sometime over the next couple days.
Which means you should be checking out both the blog and our Facebook page on a regular basis, because we try to, no one else is handling our social media. We take care of it ourselves. So when we say that we're trying to put something up there on a regular basis for you, we really are.
And again, if you are not as enamored of Facebook as a lot of people were, we certainly are not. We're kind of segueing away from that, but we still hang out there because a lot of people do. Check out our Blue Sky page. Just look for Steve and Johnny on Blue Sky, and you will find our page, and you will find just about everything and some additional things that you won't see on our Facebook page on Blue Sky.
And if you come across something in a recipe that I've posted and you're flummoxed, you're like, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. I don't know where to get this. Just drop me a line. I'll be happy to answer your questions, because I like to think that I am presenting recipes to you that are so super simple that it inspires you to try to make something for yourself if you're gluten-free, or for friends or family, and just give it a shot and see how super simple it can be and how tasty it can be. I like to think it's tasty. I think it's tasty.
Well, guess what I'm going to be doing during the news.
During the news? Okay. Yeah. We'll take a break and come right back here on WGN.
It must have fallen out of a hole in your brown overcoat. They never said your name, but I knew just who they meant. Whoa, I was so surprised and shocked, and I wondered too if by chance you heard it for yourself. Never told the soldiers how I've been feeling over you. But they said it really loud. They said it on the air, on the radio. Whoa, on the radio. Whoa, on the radio. Whoa, on the radio. Whoa, now, now. Don't it kind of strike you sad when you hear a song?
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love that. Donna Summer, she was such a talent.
Yes.
Oh.
Thank you. Dealer's Choice, Julian. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Excellent. What inspired you to pick that?
13 years to the day since we lost her.
Really?
Lung cancer.
13 years. Oh, my
and
gosh.
And what a talent. Oh.
Yes. Man. And that song was 1979. I remember well. I was an FM DJ at the time. And it came out in three versions. Did you know this? Because you had transitioned to talk radio by that time.
Yeah, but I also, after talk radio, I was doing a first morning and then afternoon drive at Disco DAI. And that was one of the songs that was in a
in 79?
High rotation.
Because it was 1979.
In 79, yeah.
Yeah. Because we had three versions. We had the 45 version, then we had the 5-minute version, and then we had the DJ copy that was 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And when you're playing music and you need to run to the restroom, oh, you love those 5 and 7 minute songs because you could get a cup of coffee on your way back.
But you know what it also makes me think of, and I can't think of the guy's name, because at that point, we were using, along with the just playing the individual records, we had hot mixes. And there were disco DJs who would put together hot mixes for us where they would perfectly match the tempo of the songs, and we would have a hot mix that would go for about 20 minutes or so.
Ooh.
And, I mean, it was so cool.
Oh, yeah.
And they, I can't,
and to be able to do that, that's
it's a real talent.
It is, where you can pick up just... Julian, I bet you could do that.
I actually, funny you mentioned that, whenever there's family parties, I regularly am the DJ, if you will.
Are you? Okay.
And I'm always getting those songs that have the same BPMs.
See, it's fairly common now, but that started, that's one of the many things that started in the disco era, when the disco DJs were the ones who were first matching the beats. And
because at the disco, you never wanted the music to stop.
Right.
So if you could just keep it going for hours by matching the beats.
Did you ever see, Julian, there was a documentary that was recently aired about Donna Summer. I think it was on either Showtime or I think.
Is it Love to Love You, Donna Summer?
Probably, yeah. She was really one of the first to do sort of concept shows. And a lot of people didn't understand what she was doing initially, but she, a lot of people initially thought, because her first hit was Love to Love You.
Yeah.
And everybody thought, oh, okay, just moaning and groaning, and that's a flash in the pan. And wow.
Works she, hard for her money?
It, what, and
it's
what
a
was
classic.
It, what was the thing she did with Barbara Streisand?
Oh, yeah. Well, she held her own, too, with Barbara Streisand.
Oh, she did, yeah. But she was such a talent. And
No More Tears.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you want to play just a little bit of it if you got it? That was just such a... And it was nice that Streisand recognized the talent she had to go ahead and do a song with her.
Boring me to tears after all these years. No sunshine, no moonlight, no stardust, no sign of romance. We don't stand the chance. But he turned out to be like every other man I loved.
Yeah, we could play it all night long. But again, that may be the perfect example of just how good Donna Summer was,
yes,
that she more than held her own with
Barbara Streisand. Absolutely. I couldn't believe, I just checked, she was only 63 years old when she died on this day.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. And still had her voice.
Yeah. I'm webbing and segueing just a second. Barbara Streisand is coming out with another duets album.
Mm.
And I was a little apprehensive because too many people record duets in one city and the person they're recording with is in another city. Apparently, Streisand is doing it. There was just some pictures of her with Paul McCartney.
Good.
Doing it in the same studio.
Makes a huge difference. Tony Bennett was the same way.
Yes.
He wanted people with him so he could vibe with them. I was a little put off by Willie Nelson's duets because they just went into a studio and I did mine on this coast and he did his on that coast and we blended them together.
And as much as I love Frank Sinatra, Frank Sinatra's duets albums are some of my least favorite albums because they weren't done in the same studio. But Tony Bennett, anybody who did a duet with Tony Bennett was in the studio with Tony singing. And I love that Streisand is going to do that on her new album.
Good. I'm so glad to hear that because I'd heard she was going to do this project. And I thought, I'm so tired of the whole duets concept. Listeners said they saw Donna Summer at the Mill Run Theater. What a great place to see anyone.
In the round.
Oh, man, there was not a bad seat in the house and the acoustics were so good. And hopefully, Golf Mill will decide to go back to a Mill Run type theater.
Saw a great concert there with at the Mill Run, B.B. King and Ray Charles.
Mm-hmm.
I saw
so many of them there.
Three in the front seat, touching knees, drive past the jail and the tasty freeze. Roll the window down. Hey, what's the scoop? On a Friday night, cruising the loo. Cindy's sitting awful close to Bill. That second date must be gone.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, cruising.
That makes me smile.
I love that song. But then again, I love everything Susie Boggess does.
Yes, and we're so happy that we get to say good evening, Susie Boggess.
Hello, my friend.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just hanging loose at the house here tonight.
Did you guys have any problem with the storm? I was worried about you on Friday night when it rolled through here.
Yeah,
it was headed toward Nashville.
Yeah, it didn't really hit us too hard. We just had some little branches down, and most of them were dead ones that we wanted to get down from up above anyway. So, thank goodness. But, it's just, every time that one of those comes through, you just,
worry
about your neighbors and everybody else.
Well, Nashville has been like the hot spot for some time now. It's like, really? Nashville again? Wow.
Yeah, I know. We're kind of we're in that alley now. I don't know how that happened. It kind of, I always used to think it was like Oklahoma City up through St. Louis, that way. But we've been getting it quite a bit.
Well, and speaking of Oklahoma, you should have been up here in Chicago last night when we had the first ever
haboob dust storm.
I heard.
Yes.
I saw some pictures.
Oh, Susie, it was apocalyptic. It was like, okay, that's it. Thank you, Jesus. We're gone.
The end.
You know?
That's it.
It's just so creepy. And it was the first time ever in the city of Chicago, which was even more bizarre. When your phone goes off, of course, nowadays, if you're like me, you get that sick feeling like, oh, I don't know if I need to look at it. And then you find out a dust storm? That's a different.
I got some pictures of my college town. Like there were some pictures of Normal,
mm-hmm.
and I guess they had it as well.
Yes, and yes.
So that was very, very scary. I know that was it. Just last year, when there was that big dust storm that blew up over Effingham across
Central Illinois, in 23, and that was devastating because of the accidents on I-57 and. Very scary stuff.
Well, it has been too long since we have seen you in person, and we are very excited
yes!
that we are going to be seeing you in person on September 14th, which is a Sunday, at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66.
Now, the last time we talked about the big induction ceremony, it was supposed to be last year, and then things happened, so they had to reschedule it. So this is a really big deal. So let us say once again, congratulations, because you, Susie, are being inducted.
I'm glad you picked out, Cruising the Loop, because that's kind of like one of the most rock and roll kind of songs I've ever done.
Yeah, but you're an Illinois girl, so you deserve to be in any museum that recognizes music.
Well, thank you. That's really sweet. I am sort of skating in there underneath some kind of
Stop it. Just enjoy it.
I love it. I am just going to love it. And honestly, it is really an honor. And it's pretty darn cool.
Yes, so it is. And
I get to have my picture around people who, were idols to me. Big rock stars.
Listen to you.
But
into their rehearsals over there at the Rialto,
But I'll give you a slight peek into some of the things that we're going to be saying as we introduce you that night. One of the many things that we have always loved about you, yes, you have primarily hung your hat in country music very successfully, but particularly over recent years, boy, your albums have just showed such a wonderful wide variety of, this is a little jazz-ish, this is a little funky, this is a little folky, you're kind of all over the map, and I love it because you're always growing and creating, and I can't wait to hear what you do next.
Oh, thank you. That's really sweet. Yeah, I'm just kind of like, I'm one of those recipes that, sometimes you add this and sometimes you add that. And then you might end up with something spicy. You might even have vichy choix and eat it cold. Who knows?
Okay, what do you have for dinner tonight?
Tonight we had walleye, and it was so darn good, which is very, really, really weird for us. Be able to get walleye in Nashville. We had a little morning adventure. Doug and I found a new farmer's market that's really close to where we live, and we usually go into Franklin, which is a little further away. And this one was like really close to us, and so sweet, and just we found all this, and then we found this little. I don't know what you call it. It's kind of like a gourmet little grocery store that just opened, and they had everything. They had quail and frog legs. And all sorts of really gourmet stuff, frog legs, like what I grew up on when I was in Alito.
Some good eating is what we call it, right?
That's right.
Well, let's give folks a little bit more information. We are going to be introducing Susie on that Sunday night.
So nice. Oh, I love you guys for doing that.
We're so tickled that you invited us to do that on September 14th at 5 o'clock in the evening. Tickets are available now at the Rialto Square Theater. And like you, Susie, I'm thrilled because we're going to get to we could see Richard Marx, who's going to be one of the inductees. Also, a wonderful talent that I just adore her. her. She's been around forever. Bonnie Kolak.
Yeah.
Is going to be there.
Love her.
Me too. Yeah, and,
and I have never met her, and I'm probably going to, like, gack out, but I'm going to try not to.
That's okay. We'll pinch Richard each other, okay?
I met Richard. He played at Tin Pan South down here in Nashville, and I went to see his show, and got to go backstage and talk to him and stuff. Just, I don't know. I knew somebody. I don't know. I had an extra $20. I don't remember what it was. It was something.
Well, Marshall Thompson of the Shylights, one of my favorite groups. Oh, my gosh. He's going to be there, and he's such a sweet man, such a talent. He's going to be there to be inducted into the Rock Hall. And, you know, again, we're just so thrilled because this museum is exploding. It is world-class, and it's on its way to being even bigger and better.
And if you want to get a little more information, you can go to roadtorock.org. And you can see all the information on when it's going to be, who's going to be there, and buy tickets.
How to get your tickets, and we want you to get your ticket. Susie, can you hang loose, and we will take a quick break and come right back. And
either hang loose or hang tight, whichever works for
what
you.
What works. We'll be right back with Susie Boggess here on WGN.
My job is most gratifying with folks lined up right out the door. For some savory sound satisfying, so sumptuous, scrumptuous, for sure. Supper time, got a house full of hungry hammers standing 3 deep at the bar. Me and the guys are dishing up a special tonight. And there's already tips in the jar. I'm a woman who cooks, and you know I got the recipe right. Chop it, top it, dice it, stir it up with spices, boil it, broil it, simmer down. Something in the oven, you're gonna love it. I know what I'm talking about. Have a bite, hot off the griddle, and a cold one to wash it off.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. She is a woman who cooks. She is a woman who has won umpteen Grammys and platinum-selling records. And we're fortunate to call her a friend. Her name is Susie Boggess. And speaking of cooking, there's this cookbook thing that you have, too.
Yeah, it's really been kind of fun. I'm actually even getting some gigs where... this summer I'm going down to Texas to Galveston, and it's at a winery, and they're having 7 chefs, and I get to be one of them.
Oh,
I'm not actually cooking it, but they're taking a recipe from my book. And so yesterday I got a call from them, and they said, "Okay, so you pick out what soup you want to do from your soup cookbook, and we're going to need to make it for 300 people with 2 ounce servings." So I was like, oh my God. I mean, a 2 ounce serving is like a double shot glass.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, it can't be like something that has like different kinds of vegetables or something. They're not going to get the whole vibe of it.
Well, they'll get 12 beans if you do chili with beans, you know.
Yeah, somebody might get all the beans and somebody might get no beans. So I decided I'm going to do the cauliflower soup, which has Indian spices, and it's kind of, it's got a little vibe. So, I mean, it's in Texas, so surely they can handle
of course.
A little
heat. And the cookbook is entitled Susie's Soup Night Cookbook, and it's your first cookbook. And it came about as a result of you having soup nights at the house, right?
Right. Soup night is my birthday party that I give myself so that all my buddies that are such amazing musicians come over and they play music together. And, you know, it's the kind of thing, like so many of us are on the road during the year, and this is in between Christmas and New Year's, and everybody's kind of home. And it's just like fun. Nobody's playing their own songs. They're mm-hmm. playing cover songs and Bob Wills and, you know, just having a great time. And, you know, and I make these big giant pots of soup, and that's how the soup book kind of came about, is that every year I try to come up with some other crazy recipe. And So I've been collecting them for a long time, and that's how the book came about.
And you perfected them by sharing them with your friends, so you knew what would fly and what wouldn't fly in a cookbook, right?
That's kind of true.
Yeah.
I mean, I did it. I couldn't decide how to divide up the chapters, so I divided it up for, like, you know, if you're going to have a fancy dinner party, or if you just want to do something real simple for dinner, or if you want one of my dad's or my mom's classic recipes. And then the last one is the soup night thing, where you have to make soup for 70 people. And that really, I mean, 70 is a lot, but 300
you think?
Is like insane. Like, and they wanted me to do the math, and I was like, holy crap,
no.
It was hard enough for me to make recipes for this book, because I'm a like, what's in the refrigerator, let's make soup out of it kind
yeah.
of person. So, you know, having to remake the soups two or three times to make sure that I had measurements and stuff instead of just,
wow.
oh, it needs a little more of this or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You've had a hard day, or it's one of those days when you're trying to hide from headlines or whatever. What is your go-to comfort food?
My go-to comfort food. Oh, wow. Let's see. Gosh, that's really hard. I am such a foodie, so I mean, it kind of just depends on the day for me. But I mean, if I'm just, I'm probably an ice cream girl, you know.
Okay.
If I'm just gonna say I deserve this, and
yeah,
and you know.
It's funny.
The world's been hard on me today. It's going to be ice cream.
Because I find if it's not ice cream or something sweet that's in the house, it has to be a grilled cheese sandwich. I just feel like everything is all right in the world if you have a good grilled cheese sandwich.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You know, that's Doug's whole purpose in life, is to make and eat the perfect grilled cheese sandwich. He's tried so many different combinations, and it really is... it's really something that he's worth. Maybe that's Doug's going to have a cookbook of grilled cheese sandwiches.
So next time you guys are in Chicago, we have to have you over to our house, and we'll have dueling grilled cheese.
I'm going to share with you guys, because your husband, Doug Cryer, will love my grilled cheese, where you put the cheese on the outside of the bread.
Oh,
yes.
Totally love that.
You haven't lived. And you know what, Susie?
The crispy bit.
Yes. And my theory is, anytime you can save the carbs from one whole slice of bread and just make it up with cheese, I'm there.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah.
And it's so good.
I saw somebody doing that the other day, where they took cheese and then put pickles on the cheese.
Yes.
And then grilled that.
Yes.
And so that your pickles would be like embedded
mm-hmm.
in cheese.
You know what? We got to stop this, because this is a long night.
There's a serious food Jones that just broke out in this studio.
You guys are going to like be ordering out, like Grubhub people are going to be
running chewing on my ankle, you know, one or the other. But we should tell everybody that your cookbook is readily available. You can order it through Susie's website. You can order it on Amazon. Am I correct, Susie?
No, it's not on Amazon. It is not. So, yeah, it's just at SusieBoggess.com. And then the other way you can get it is come to one of my live shows.
Yes.
And I will sign you one, and it'll be really fun.
Well, you know, back to, I think you're wise to cut out the middleman when it comes to selling your book.
Yeah, Amazon likes to take too much money.
Yeah.
They do take a lot.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
After we wrote our book.
And the hard thing for us is just they don't take a lot of copies at a time.
Yes.
So yeah.
You constantly have to be sending out another small order and stuff like that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. We went down that road, and it got to be too frustrating, because after they took a half a dozen copies and they would say, you know, out of print. I'm like, no, it's not. Stop it. That's not helpful.
That's exactly the same experience we had. So, I mean, it's just, you know, we're little cottage industries.
Good.
And sometimes it's better just to stay small.
So if you haven't been to it, Suzy's website, cleverly enough, is SUZYBOGGUSS.com, SuzyBoggus.com, two G's, two S's, no waiting. And you can find out about all of her her albums and cookbooks and everything else.
And Suzy, we have to take a break, but come back. We want to answer some of the questions that people are texting in, fans.
We want to tell about a world premiere movie event that you've got going on.
Oh, fun. Okay, yes, that'll be great.
Suzy's going to be performing at the Grand Ole Opry on June 10th, but we got a lot more to talk about with her, so stay with us. Suzy Boggus is our guest here on WGN.
Little, why don't we go for a piece of that pie? We can listen to the wind blow, sit and watch a corn grow in little old Toledo. Wherever I wander, no matter how far, why do we go for a piece?
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Why can I never listen to that song without smiling?
I know.
Because she's so goofy.
No, she is the pride of Toledo, Illinois. And I love the fact that you're kind of kissing the whole yodeling. You're right there. And I know you can. But it's just perfect.
You wanted to, didn't you?
I did. You know, I wrote that song. It just came to me because, you know, remember Jim Stafford had a song, and I think it was something about little old lady.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Yes.
And I just was thinking Toledo is such a perfect yodel word because yodeling has so much. The vowel sounds are so much of the whole way that you do it. And I just was like, Toledo. I mean, it just sounds like it's going to be a yodel. So
and
it just kind of popped into my head.
Did it sort of come easy to you? I mean, once you got that riff, did the rest of it just sort of lay itself out there for you?
I mean, it was like a 5-minute. It was that quick. And I was laughing so hard when I was doing it, and my son Ben was in his room, and I said, you got to listen to this and tell me if I'm just, like out of my mind. And he laughed, too, and then I thought, you know what? That's what it's supposed to be. It's a little tip of the hat to how sweet my hometown is.
And your hometown is featured in a movie, and your music is actually featured in that movie. Tell us a little bit about how the movie came about.
Okay, so the gal, Christina Schaefer, that contacted me, she is from Chicago, and she lives up there, and she and another gal, Bethany, now my brain just like turned off, sorry. They went to take some classes at Second City, and they really loved each other, and they wanted to do some projects together. So they came up with this concept around Christina's grandmother is from Toledo, where her dad was from Toledo. He was in between my oldest brother and my sister in age. And so she used to spend summers going down to see her grandmother with her cousins that lived there, the Conway boys. And, being from Chicago, a little town like Toledo, which is about 3,300 people, something like that, was just so different to her. And of course, the Conway boys were wild as they're wild boys, but in a very sweet way. So she just kind of like wanted to write a little love letter to the town that her grandmother was from, and so she wrote this story, and it's just a darling little thing. And that the two main characters in the movie are also Chicago actors, and so it's kind of based around their friendship,
mm-hmm.
and it's really clever, it's funny, and it's sweet. And the guy who played the sheriff, man, I'm sorry, my brain is not functioning at 8 o'clock.
You're in the right place. Our brains rarely function. That's why the two of us do the show.
They're all Chicago people, and they did this darling job on this movie. It's about a little over an hour, and they have just recently renovated the opera house in my town, Aledo, and I think it was built in 1910, something mm-hmm. like that. And in fact, one of my grandmothers used to play the piano in the, you know, before the talkies, you know, like. So they renovated it and like kind of took it back to the Art Deco vibe that it always was. And it's just having a grand opening. And so they're going to play like the world premiere of the movie, which is called And Everything Fun You Could Possibly Do in Aledo, Illinois, which is a really long title.
And this is in June, isn't it, that they're having the grand opening and showing the movie?
Yes. Yes, the 6th of June.
Which is a Friday.
Actual,
yeah.
Yes, it's a Friday. And then Saturday, I think, I'm not sure if Rhubarb Festival starts on Friday, but it might. Mm-hmm. But I know Saturday is the big day of Rhubarb Festival in Aledo, and that's kind of a destination. I mm-hmm. mean, they make like 700 rhubarb pies,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't get there by 10 or 11 o'clock, you're not going to get one.
Mm. Are you and Doug going to come to Aledo for the grand opening of the Opera House?
We sure are. Looking so forward.
Nice.
My whole family's going to be there. My brother, my sister, and their spouses are coming, and we've got balcony seats, and we're pretty excited about it. They haven't seen it yet, and so for me, it's going to be really fun because they're just going to love it because it's so, these little actresses that play these parts, I don't want to say little actresses because mm-hmm. they're like 40-some years old, but they just conjured up the perfect Aledo personalities, and
Your music is through the movie, correct?
You have 17 songs in
it. Oh my gosh. That is so cool.
I wrote three with Doug for it, and then they used a whole lot of the folk album that mm-hmm. I did. You know, old Dan Tucker,
mm-hmm.
Sweet Betsy from Pike and fun stuff like that. So what happened was Christina won one of the big film scholarships up there that the film festival people give out. So she was able to, you know, actually do this professionally. And
nice.
It was pretty cool to have somebody kind of underwriting some of these.
Yeah.
Expenses and stuff.
Well, folks can go to the Aledo Opera House and they can get details on what's going to happen for that weekend and specifically that night when the movie's going to be shown on Friday night, June 6th.
And the website, by the way, is aledooperahouse.com.
Yes. And Susie, I have to share this text from Matt. He says, as a young TV reporter in 1994, I had the pleasure of interviewing Susie on her Christmas tour with Kenny Rogers in the Quad Cities. She asked the audience who was from Aledo or knew her when she was growing up, and literally half the 4,000 people raised their hands. She is such a sweetheart. And that's from Matt.
Oh, that's funny, Matt. I don't doubt it because, you know, that's one of the most wonderful things about my hometown is, you know, we all kind of grew up in the village. You know what I mean? It's like everybody knew what everybody was doing.
Yeah. So
most of us were pretty straight arrows.
Well,
we also had a couple people texting in and talking about the Illinois Hall of Fame that you're going to be involved in,
right.
And they wanted to know if you're going to be performing live at that night.
We sure are, and my band guys are coming, and I think we're going to join up with the staff band that's going to be playing. They're going to have like a band for the whole festivities, mm-hmm. and it should be really fun. You know, just it's always fun when you get to collaborate with someone who's doesn't normally play your music. And I'm guessing that there'll probably be some like unusual things that we don't carry with us, like horns and things like that. So that's going to be a lot of fun to play some of my songs with a big old band.
Before we take a break, I should mention, too, the tickets for A Night of Music. Every genre you can imagine is going to be represented at this night. I mean, Smashing Pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking
Muddy
Waters, old school blues.
Yeah.
You've got your country / folk. You've got rock. I mean, it is going to be quite a night. Tickets are only $65, $55, and $45 at the Rialto Square Theater. And we love that venue because the acoustics are fantastic. It's just a comfortable place. And it starts at 5 in the evening because it's a very big night.
Yeah.
So you need to get your tickets, and we'll see you there when we're going to be inducting Susie. This is a really big deal, and we're just tickled to death for her. We're going to take a break and come right back and talk a little bit more with Susie Boggess, and check her out at SUZYBOGGUSS.com and get the lowdown on all of her music and her cookbook. She's with us here on WGN.
There's a young man that I know whose age is 21. Comes from down in southern Colorado, just out of the service. He's looking for his fun someday soon. Going with him someday soon.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's one of those songs that I never, ever, ever get tired of. And Susie, I'm not saying it just because you're on the phone. It was a perfect record from day one, and boy, does it still hold up.
It sure does, gosh. And you have...
Steve Tyson's song, that's such a great song.
Do you pinch yourself? Was that like 1990, 91?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, and I love singing it every night. You know, it's just got one of those melodies that, as a singer, it kind of soars, you know, it kind of loops around and stuff, and it's just really fun to sing. And it's a great story that really doesn't doesn't change, you know. There's always somebody getting out of the service, and there's always... still the rodeo going on.
Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those songs.
I
absolutely love that song. It's probably one of my top 10 favorite songs of all time. But I get emotional every time I hear that song. I have to, I'm like, okay, don't cry. Don't cry. This is good.
So speaking
of... I do think that some melodies do that.
Yeah.
You know, some melodies like just... trip like some little heartstring, you know.
Yeah.
For some reason, all of a sudden you wonder, like, why do I feel like
this? I know, and it's not a bad thing; it's a good thing.
And it's also don't play down your involvement. It's also your voice, Susie.
Your interpretation.
Speaking of things that always get to you, June 10th, Grand Ole Opry.
Oh yeah. I'm so looking forward to it. Yeah, it's going to be a really fun night. I've got some friends coming into town. My brother-in-law's sister and and five of their friends are coming from Las Vegas, and they do not know anything about Nashville at all. So I'm very curious to see, like, you know, if the, are they going to walk around with their mouths open, or what's going to happen? What are they going to think?
Well, maybe they'll wear their Vegas cowboy boots, and they'll fit right in. You know,
if they wear the kind of cowboy clothes that I've seen, like on the strip in Vegas, it would be like pink cowboy hats.
Well, we're seeing a lot of that in town this weekend because Beyonce is in town. And, of course, you know, with her Cowboy Carter album, all of her fans are decked out in sparkly cowboy hats and sparkly cowboy boots. And that's okay. We're okay with that.
Great.
Yeah.
They're having fun. I think it's awesome. You know, the first time I played in the UK, it was at the Wembley Stadium in London, which is a huge place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was so, this was 1989, and I was just so taken back because people were dressed in these long dusters with their cowboy hats, and they had like fake cap guns, and some people were dressed as Native Americans, and it was nuts. I didn't get the memo, you know. Like,
we're
the right stuff.
Yeah.
If we were to check out your iPod, what would we find right now? Well, who are you listening to right now?
Gosh, so much new stuff. So many friends were making records lately. Mindy Smith's record is like incredible. Let's see, what else? I've been listening to a lot of John Prine because at this time of the year, I think of him all the time because this was when we lost him in 2020. Let's see, what else have I been listening to? I've been listening to lots of music lately. Oh, golly. And, of course, you know, I'm just like...
You'll hang up and you'll remember all of it. We should mention that you have a new album, Praying for Sunshine, a terrific new album. It's got 10 brand new songs on it. And Steve was mentioning your interpretation of Someday Soon and your voice and how wonderful it is. I love what No Depression said about this new CD, Praying for Sunshine. The album reminds us again just how radiant and transportive Bogus's vocals are. I'm like, dang, that's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's a great album. It's a terrific album, and I'm sure you perform a lot of the songs from that album on your shows too, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We had to squeeze them in. It's such a cool thing to have songs that people know from years of being around and having songs on the radio. You know, it's like such a It's an honor, and you don't want to leave those songs out when they mean something to people, just like other people's songs mean something to me, like where I was at a certain time when this particular song moved me, you know. So I try to have like four or five songs that I can kind of wing in and out of the set list, and and then the guys in the band just have to look at me and I'll say, I'm sorry, that's not the one I'm doing.
Well, that's good.
I'm doing this one.
Well, you have to read the audience too, don't you? You have to kind of go with that.
Yeah, I mean, it sometimes, you know, if I look out there and, you know, like people are yawning and stuff, I know it. Time for Drive South.
Oh, I don't think that ever happens. A listener says Susie should cover John Prine's I Remember Everything.
Oh man,
that would be nice.
Song.
Yeah. Terrific song.
I love so many of his songs. So many. Just so many.
Well, you have so many of your fans that are listening tonight, and that's why we're so happy that you could join us. And maybe we'll get you to stop by before we get to September 14th when we have the big night at the Rialto Square, just to remind everybody. But tickets are available now, and we want you to go to roadtorock.org to grab your tickets. We'll see you there with a whole bunch of amazing talent. It's just going to be a huge night. And Susie's going to be performing, answer the question from a bunch of people that said, well, yeah, I know she's getting this award, but yeah.
I think it's going to be kind of fun to hang out backstage and see everybody who's performing getting autographs from everybody else who's performing.
I know. It's going to be fun for me to wear my Joan Jett outfit that I'm going to get out.
Oh, stop.
You're going to break out the leathers that night?
Yeah, I think that's what I need to do, get some cuffs. And
I think you should come to town early so we could go shopping. That's what I think.
Well, that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
Any way that can happen.
And Susie, too, it would relax you because, that's what shopping does. It's therapy. It's relaxing.
Yes. It's just when my credit card gets so hot and it's burning my pocket.
Stop.
So as we get close to September in the Chicago area, if you have the overwhelming smell
of burning plastic,
you will know that Susie and Johnny have hit the malls.
Yes, yes.
That's right. We went crazy.
Well, you've got some fun shows coming up. People can follow you. They're listening. We've got about 17 states that checked in tonight to say they're listening. So follow Susie on her site because she's going to be all over the place this summer. Go to Aledo and check out the Opera House, which opens, and they're going to be showing their movie with Susie's music, and that's on June 6th. And then on the 14th of September, we'll see you all there at the Rialto Square. Susie, thank you so much for joining us
tonight. It's always fun, Susie.
Yeah, thanks a bunch.
It's so fun talking to you guys. I miss you when I don't get to talk to you for a long time. So I'm glad we got to catch up a little.
And tell Doug we said hey.
Yeah, thanks a lot to Doug, too.
He's probably already snoozing his little snory head off.
Well, sleep well, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Susie.
Thanks, Susie.
All right.
Take care, hon.
Guys. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye now.
And you can check out Susie's website. It's SusieBoggus.com, SusieBoggus.com. Two G's, two S's, no waiting.
No waiting, that's right.
She is so nice.
She is, gosh. And her voice. Oh, I loved her voice when I first got turned on to her music back in the 80s, the late 80s, early 90s. And yet, I feel like it gets better all the time, if
it really
that's
does.
Possible.
Yeah.
She just goes places. Like, her jazz album was so good.
We're going to check in with our friend Steve Sanders. So stay with us at WGN Radio. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I rarely get jealous. Okay.
Yes.
I think most of you who have been with us for more than a day and a half recognize that that's Tommy Emmanuel. One of the guitar players is Tommy Emmanuel, who has been a longtime friend of ours. And we've had in the studio many times. We've introduced many of his concerts. But I never got to do what Channel 9 news anchor Steve Sanders got to do.
That was Steve playing with Tommy Emmanuel, right, Steve Sanders?
Guys, let me tell you, I've done a lot of interviews and I've met a lot of nice people in my 37 years at WGN, but that might be the most memorable thing I ever did as a guitar player. I have to tell you, that was like, try to imagine being an average high school football player getting to play in the NFL. It was amazing, and the fact that he accommodated me in such a engaging way. He was just, he's a genuinely nice guy.
Sweetest person and so talented. Just watching him play is, we took our cardiologist friend to see him, and he said, I wish all my patients could go see Tommy Emmanuel, because what he does for your heart rate is nothing but healthy.
Just watching him is a cardiac workout.
Well, yes.
Or I've heard other guitar players say you either want to burn your guitar or go practice 3 hours a day to try to get better.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he's the best in the world.
Absolutely.
And no arguments from this corner.
I was lucky to have him on the show.
Yeah.
I think he's too big now to.
Look, a couple months ago, he came in here and sat after he did the Park West and stayed for 2 hours after doing a big show at the Park West.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy he is.
But I have to share with you, and you'll appreciate this too. We did a video of Tommy in the studio, and the video so far on our YouTube channel has 173,000 hits.
Wow.
and that's Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm
well. And let me tell you what an honor it is to follow Susie Boggess. She could do a clinic on yodeling. I know you might have heard her do a song called "I Want to Be a Cowgirl."
Yes.
Sweetheart.
Oh yeah,
cowboy sweetheart.
Yes. Yeah,
that's just phenomenal.
I mean, it is.
Yodeling might be a lost art.
Yes.
Yeah. With your love of music, do you yodel?
Yeah. Badly. I wouldn't.
Well, do you?
If my wife were awake right now, she'd be shaking her head, going, No.
Yeah, I hear you. For folks that are saying, well, gee, I do recognize that voice. You started at WGN TV just a couple of years before we started at WGN Radio. You were in 82, we were in 84, and you were there. And I mean, it's amazing. I know people say to us, I can't believe you've been at one radio station for 40 years. Yeah, it's amazing to be at one television station for the period of time that you were.
It's amazing to not get. It's amazing to work in this business for that long and not get fired.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's face it. I mean, come on. Most people in that business get fired. You know?
Yeah. What a
great career. Well,
but you got to leave on your own terms. And is right now, are you going through kind of a pinch me moment, because you've already had a phenomenal career, won Emmys, and now you've got a whole nother career going for you that is very cool.
Let me tell you, I'm having the time of my life. And Steve, you know, we're just trying to pay for the tour bus, keep the groupies away. You know? So far, it's working out. You know?
Yes.
Tell us about the group, the Mixafours.
Well, let me back up. You've played in rock bands a long time ago.
Sure.
I played in rock bands in high school, and at the time of my life, I never forgot. You know, I had to go off to college, sold my instruments, and I thought that was the end of it. And you know, never stopped playing guitar. But and then about was it maybe 2009. They had this event in Chicago called Newsapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Marx and Ro Khan had put this thing together as a fundraiser.
Right.
I can't remember the name of the disease, but it was something. And they put together a lot of TV news anchors who think they can play and sing. And, mm-hmm. and I was one of them. And had a great time playing with Richard Marx's band.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we did it the following year, and I kind of got the bug. And by then, I was doing the midday news, getting a few bands on that show. And every now and then, I'd sit in with them. And so it was a natural progression. So by the time I retired, I was ready. And there were some guys around the North Shore where I lived that I'd been jamming with. And, you know, hey, let's start a band. That's how it happened.
Is there a story behind the name of the band, the Mixafours?
You know, I've always been really fond of the idea of mixed metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have studied English. It's something you don't want to do. And I think we took it from there. Mixafour is a short version of mixed metaphor.
I love
it. Mixed metaphor would be like, hey, this is not rocket surgery. Anyway.
Well, you guys,
it was just an amusing thing to me, so I think I came up with it.
Well, we had to reach out to you because I could not believe the schedule you have for this summer. I mean, you guys are busy, but we wanted to specifically talk about something that's coming up on Wednesday at Evanston Space. So we're going to take a quick break and come back and tell you how you all can see the Mixafors with Steve Sanders and how they're going to be performing this Wednesday for a really good cause. So stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking with Steve Sanders. You know Steve from his many years as the primary anchor on Channel 9. And his new career is that of rock star guitar player. And that was some serious finger picking,
it
Steve.
It was, yeah.
You know, I started picking that up about 15 years ago because I never was a very good lead guitar player and just kind of started working on that, and for those of your listeners who don't know what fingerstyle guitar is, it's sort of where you use your thumb as the bass note on the top two strings, the lower strings, and then you pick melodies with the other fingers that you've got left. Tommy Emmanuel is the absolute best at that, but he was a real inspiration to me, interestingly, I've not been able to do a lot of that lately because of some arthritis mm-hmm. issues with the thumb. But mm-hmm. let me just tell you, Steve, as a guitar player, I had surgery on my right thumb in January, and it was amazingly successful, and I can't wait to get it done on the other one.
Wow.
It's called trapeziectomy, and they cut a little bone out, and it's about, a couple of months of recovery, and I'm telling you, you're good to go. It's got like a 95% success rate.
Wow. So,
I've never heard of that. That's wonderful,
yeah.
Steve.
I highly recommend it to everybody who's having any kind of thumb pain.
So is
I digress.
Was that as a result of arthritis, or had you injured your thumb or overworking it playing guitar?
I think it was arthritis, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not an overuse injury. It was just, it's from getting old, okay?
Well, that's a pretty incredible thing, though. I mean...
And the good news is you're still here to complain about it.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so, you've got a working thumb on top of it.
But also, we want to talk about something very cool that you are involved with at one of our absolute favorite venues, Space up in Evanston. It's going on this Wednesday, May 21st. Explain what this is.
Yeah, Space is such a great venue. Good sound. You guys have been there, I'm mm-hmm. sure, many times. Mm-hmm. And so this event is a fundraiser for ALTSO, A-L-T-S-O. That's a leg to stand on, an acronym for a leg to stand on. Leg to stand on is an organization that raises money for children in developing countries, children who are physically disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is raise money to find prosthetic limbs for them. Our lead guitar player, Ray McKenzie, is on the board of directors of ALTSO. So mm-hmm. he's the reason we're doing this. And we are one of four bands that will be performing on that night. And let me just look at the list of the other bands. One of them is friends of ours, Blue Sky Highway, Alt Machina. Let me just
August.
Find it.
August Sun.
You might have the list right there.
Yeah, August Sun.
August Sun, Blue Sky Highway.
August Sun, Blue Sky Highway. Those are our dear friends. And so we each get 40 minutes apiece.
Oh,
and
nice.
So it's going to be a fun night.
Yeah.
We are. Steve, you'll like this. Both of you guys will like this because we are playing songs from 1967 exclusively.
Ooh,
what a great year for music.
That was one of the best years ever for music. And I know we sound like a bunch of old fogies for anybody who's 25 years old out there listening, but it really was a terrific year.
Yeah.
Well, and
we'd never talked about this, Steve, but I wonder, as much as Johnny and I try to be into, you know, we're into music that is happening right now, but if I had to pick just one decade, I would pick the 60s, and I'll tell you why. Because in the 60s, you had rock, you had Elvis, you had the Beatles, you had Frank Sinatra, you had Louis Armstrong, you had you had one of the widest
you could go from Led Zeppelin to an instrumental, which was...
You could go from Led Zeppelin to Burt Kempfert.
Yeah.
I love that kind of variety.
We could spend an hour talking about this, but in those days, it was the music that brought this country together. We all had something in common. You know, there was soul music. There was crossover country hits.
Mm-hmm.
There was all that great music from California, and then the British invasion. And we all came up listening to that music. And now it concerns me that music is so fragmented now, and it has been for years, you know, but... you can't put that toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of it is the way that radio has changed too, because Top 40 radio allowed us all to be exposed to different kinds of music. With the voice that you have, and man, you still have your voice. Did you ever have a stint as a radio a DJ?
No, I you know what? I think I was too nervous to be a DJ.
Oh my gosh.
I think news was more controlled, and that's all I ever wanted to do was TV news. I started out as a stagehand at WBRC TV in Birmingham, Alabama. I did that for 3 years. I had hair down to my shoulders. The Watergate hearings were on, and I was a college dropout. Watergate hearings were on, and I was glued to the set when I wasn't working. It really was just such an education watching that live on ABC. And there was a local radio station that was just coming into play, and they were rock and roll. They were an upstart. I called the news director, and I said, "Hi, this is Steve Sanders. I work at Channel 6. I heard you had an opening in the newsroom. He thinks I'm a TV reporter."
Hmm.
"Well, I'm actually the stagehand, you know." And says, "Yeah, come by. Why don't you come by and do an audition tape?" And I did, and he hired me. And I didn't even know how to turn the microphone on. But the rest is history, and things worked out very well. So, and somewhere I finished college, and Paul Davis at WGN called, and the rest is history.
Oh, my gosh, Paul Davis.
Well, I'm going to ask you for a second to put your news hat back on. As you look at the headlines today, are you glad you've picked up the guitar, or are there days that you want to be back in the newsroom? Where does your mind go when you look at the headlines?
I do not want to be back in the news business. This country's so divided right now. I don't want to venture off into opinion land right now, but I just can't see it. I think 37 years was enough, and I think you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
I
really don't miss it that much right now.
Hmm.
And let me tell you, playing in a rock band is the best diversion I can think of.
And how many guys are on the band, the mix of fours?
Yeah, let me tell you about this. Ray McKenzie, lead guitar player, is on the board of directors of Altso. Great charity. Ray's got a background in financial services companies in New York, and never gave up rock and roll. He always played in bands and actually ran a small record company in New Jersey when he lived out that way. Charlie Seymour, another local guy around the neighborhood. Charlie's a great keyboard player, and he and I go back quite a few years. Maurice Gauthier, Moose nickname, is a great singer. Most of us are baritones. Moose actually has a great rock and roll voice, and that he's more of a tenor. He fills that gap. Drummer, we kind of have to pick up drummers where we can get them right now. We don't have a permanent drummer. But let me tell you about a few of our new additions that will be joining us Wednesday night. we call them the kids because they're in their 20s. They are, I was thinking about this before you guys called. They're going to, most of them were, well, they were born after year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be playing songs that were recorded 40-something years before
right.
they were born.
Mm-hmm.
And look, they seem to enjoy them. I hope they are. But they're wonderful musicians. Abby is a grad student at University of Chicago, as is her friend Alexa. And she's a great singer, violinist. You ought to play in a rock band that has a violin.
Yeah.
We've got a horn section lined up. And listen, we're just hoping it's not going to be a train wreck, and we're going to try not to suck.
So. That's your motto, right? Tickets are only $25. It's for a great cause. It's going to be a fun night with a ton of music from 6 to 9:30 yeah. at Evanston Space. Steve, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I hope that you will stop by again, and maybe we can get the band to come in here to the studio sometime.
Oh, listen, those guys would jump at the chance, believe me. We're coming to do an acoustic set, and Steve, you have to play with us, of course.
Absolutely.
Okay,
and by the way, I think
I
was last on your show about 15 years ago.
Yes.
Yes. So we're overdue.
Yeah, that's right.
Definitely overdue.
Thank you, Steve.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. We'll see you Wednesday night at Evanston Space, and that's 6 o'clock till 9:30, a night full of music. News is next here on WGN.
This ain't Texas, ain't no hold'em, so lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus and throw your keys up. Stick around, round, 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 round. And I'll be damned if I can't slow dance with you. Come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a, come take it to the floor now, woo. There's a tornado, ooh,
a tornado
in my city,
in
the basement. That ain't pretty, rugged whiskey. We're surviving, a break of kisses, sweet redemption, passing time, yeah. Ooh, one step to the right, we headed to the dive bar we always thought was nice. This ain't Texas, ain't no hold'em.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I wonder what it was like the other night, the first night of the concert, when she was singing, "There's a tornado in my city," and we've got all of this.
People had just sat.
Works better when your mic's on.
Oh, sorry. People had just hunkered down inside
yeah.
the, what would you call that area of Soldier Field?
Oh, there is a name.
Concord.
Concourse.
Yeah, concourse. Yeah. And some of them had arrived like at 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
and it was after 10 p.m. when she came out on stage. And I've got to tell you, I had my headphones turned up. That's why I didn't realize my microphone was
mm-hmm.
on.
That's a great.
I like that song, and
yeah.
I liked it, and I've only been exposed to the radio version, and that's what you just heard.
Right.
I was shocked when you said today that in putting together the music, you had to look for the radio version because... she dropped some. Did
yeah.
she drop the F bomb in it?
The S bomb.
Hmm.
And you know,
it's like
that's
the song. It stands alone. It's great without that.
And for what it's worth, I think was it Frank Zappa years ago that said, "Reality isn't what you want it to be. Reality is what
it
is."
What it is,
and. Do what you want with your album versions of stuff. But if you are an artist, a young artist, trying to make an impression right now, make your songs radio friendly. And for those of you who say, oh, everybody's listening on their...
They're streaming it.
They're streaming or whatever. Yeah, a lot of people are. But how many radio stations travel across the country, how many radio stations are playing music these days? You want your music on those stations. Make a radio-friendly version of whatever the song is that you say what you want to say. But if you really want your music to get out as far as it can, mm-hmm. give yourself that advantage of having an alternative track. I mean, I really had to look around to find this. It should have been a lot easier than it was. Mm. And I love Beyonce, and I like the non-radio friendly version too.
Really, I've got to listen to that because I'm like, really, I felt the same way about Taylor Swift's music when I thought, wait a minute, you got a crowd full of 12-year-olds out there. Why do you have to do that? Because the music stands alone.
And Taylor, and I love her, but she does drop the F bomb and some other things.
It's not necessary.
And again, you know, as we were talking about with Susie Boggess, read the room.
Yeah.
It's real simple.
And Beyonce has her daughters out there on stage with her dancing around, mm-hmm. and they're actually adorable.
And I know that a lot of generations are not as sensitive to F-bombs, S-bombs as the generation that we grew up with. But again, why do you want to limit your audience?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's turn to producer Julian, who's generations younger, because he listens to a lot of music. Probably no Beyonce or Taylor Swift. Is it safe to say?
Can't say I'm a fan.
Okay.
Nothing against them, just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, not your cup of tea. So what's your take on songs that are, you have to look for the radio version, because otherwise you have words that...
It was just harder to find the radio-friendly version than I thought it should have been.
Yeah, I agree. It should be easier. Though,
does it bother you when you hear the F-bomb being dropped in a song?
I mean, if it serves the message of the song, sure.
But if you can take the words out and the message still comes across, I find myself saying, why? Why do we have... It doesn't give you a coolness factor, in my opinion.
I agree. Both sides work.
Yeah.
If it serves the message of the song, sure. But if you take it out, then why not?
It still works, yeah.
And I'll give you an example where it wouldn't work if you talk it out, if you took it out. This is not a song. Movie. Slapshot. One of my all-time favorite. If you've never seen it, watch the movie. It's about a minor league hockey team. And there are more F-bombs and everything else through the movie, and it's hilarious.
I got to check this out.
It works in that context. I can't imagine that movie if all that stuff wasn't there. It's literally a movie that I laugh out loud at.
You know, I'm curious. We should get the perspective from a newsman. What do you think, Gabe?
Well, first, let me start by saying, believe it or not, I know that movie exists, and it's one of the most popular movies of all time, but I've never watched it.
Oh. Watch it. I think you'd love it.
But to the point of this conversation, and I look at this two ways. One, yes, if you want to get your music on the radio, you got to have a radio-friendly version of at least one of your songs.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, as someone who grew up listening to music that had parental advisory labels on the album.
Right, sure, right.
Mm-hmm. For me, I mean, you know, it didn't bother me any. My mother is another story.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes my mom would be like, turn that down. But, I think it's all about preference. And nowadays, my mother, being a woman of strong faith, she does not like that kind of music. So,
sure.
Mm-hmm. So even now, of course, you know, when I was younger, she didn't like me listening to music with profanity in it just because she thought it was a bad influence. Now she's like, you're too old to be listening to that. So,
but let me give you a sense of how much things have changed. Back in roughly, I want to say it was mid to late 60s, Spanky and Our Gang. Very popular group. They came out with a song that I love. And in fact, Julian, I'm going to ask you to dig it up. The song is called Give a Damn. Mm-hmm. And the mere fact that the word damn was in the title and in the verse of the mm-hmm. song meant a lot of radio stations wouldn't play it.
Well, how about Elton John?
Oh, the bitch is back.
Yeah.
When I was over at the Once Big 89, that song was in high rotation, we could never say the title of the song. We
could play it,
but we couldn't say the title.
You know, actually, I remember in the 90s hearing certain songs on the radio that had a word that you could get away with on the air, but the DJs would never say the title.
Couldn't say it, yeah.
But I will say this. When I was younger, the first time I ever heard a curse word on a record, at first I was shocked. I was like, wait a minute, you can say that on a record? You can't say that on TV. And then, of course, I found out that, you know, music isn't exactly adhered to the same rules as radio and television unless you're playing said song on the air. But I think, at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, perspective, like, you know, what you can tolerate. And if, you know, if you're with people, you know, just like you said, read the room, you know, they may be offended by some of that music.
Sure.
I think it's just a preference thing. And also, like, you know, just be aware of your surroundings when listening to music is the way I look at it.
Do you remember the name of that song that you first went, ooh, they just said a bad word?
I was a little kid. I just remember it was a rap song that I had heard.
Okay.
And I was like, wait, they can say that on a record? And, you know, obviously, the parental advisory label was very big in the 90s.
Big deal.
And
and the parental advisory, I really appreciate it. I applauded parental advisory because you're telling people this is what you're going to get. Fine. Right. Yeah. I have no problem with that.
And initially, it was labeled parental advisory explicit lyrics, but then they changed it to explicit content because it's not just profanity. It's also, you know, content of the music. Right.
Yes.
You know, whether
the message.
Right. Yes. So the fact that they updated that, I want to say that was probably like late 90s, early 2000s when they made that slight change in the wording. But, it serves a purpose. And, you know, to my mother, that was always a red flag.
Well, that's helpful, though, because, as a fan of Taylor Swift, I'd only been exposed to the music that either we purchased or we played on the radio. And I was shocked when I heard people saying, well, I took my 12-year-old and I did not know that she was dropping the F-bomb in every other song. And I went, why? I just didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And
I didn't know that either.
That's how I feel about Beyonce.
And again, it wasn't literally every other song.
Yeah.
But there were songs where the F-bomb was dropped, and you're seeing 12-year-olds, and I'm just going, okay.
Again.
Given the option, but again, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, obviously, so
I'm not going to argue with that. Juliet, I think you've got it, but let's do this. We got to take a break. Let's bump back with Spanky and our gang and Give a Damn.
All right. Coming up. Here on WGN.
If you take the train with me uptown through the misery of ghetto streets in morning light, they're always night.
Take a window seat, put down your times. You can read between the lines, just meet the faces that you meet beyond the window's pane. It might begin to teach you how to give a damn about your fellow man. And it might begin to teach you how to give a damn about your fellow man.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I was just watching Julian's head explode to those lyrics. So your head exploded. Why?
He said damn.
Yeah. And I just thought of something that was, possibly a decade earlier. I think it was the Kingston Trio's version of Greenback Dollar. And there's a line in it, and they go, I don't give a damn about a greenback dollar, but at that time, when you came to that point in the song, it was, I don't give a guitar chord about a greenback dollar. I mean, that just kind of shows you how the radio play sensitivity has changed over the years.
Yeah. A listener texted and said, remember CeeLo Green?
Sure.
Yeah, that was one that didn't get played on the radio. And one of the craziest things I think I've ever seen on television was, Gwyneth Paltrow singing the CeeLo Green song that they...
Didn't they
edit it for her to sing on television?
They did.
A listener also remembers, we talked a couple of weeks ago to Robbie Foulkes. And the song that he did...
He wrote a song about Nashville, and it was basically F This Town.
And it needed to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That
in
was
that
a,
song. Because that was the... he was an angry young man who just had had a nightmarish experience in Nashville. So, yeah. F This Town.
Okay. We're going to segue. So, everybody... in your mind, keep thinking you're hearing shout, 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 shout. You know, you make me want to shout, 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 shout. Well, work it on out. Shout, bama, lama. Think of all those things.
All the shouts, yes. So as we do a quick shout out for tonight, I want to mention, I'll tie this in with music, Dave Krimnitzer sent us a couple of pictures tonight. He is a regular listener, and he went to see... this is a picture of Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Oh, man,
he said,
I want to
Herb
see that.
Is 90 years old. Dave just saw him in Virginia. He said, you would never know he's 90 years old. He was amazing.
Do a search. I think it's available on probably try YouTube, try wherever. CBS This Morning, the morning news show. I'm trying to think of the guy who did the interview. But they did about a five-minute yes. piece interview with Herb Alpert. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I would love to interview Herb Alpert. I have always loved his music. It was such a wonderful, creative, talented, and still performing.
Keeping him going.
At 90, yeah. what?
Well, at 90 years old. And yeah. isn't that what Les Paul said? He had to keep performing
yep.
because it gave him a reason to wake up every day. And
yeah.
it gave him life. Another great picture we got. This one's from our regular listener, Ed Wales. And he said, tonight from Upper Moose Country, this is a picture of a close-up of a moose. I mean, it's
wow.
it's amazing. Yeah, he said, assuming the
did gale, he take that?
The gale force winds don't interfere with the signal, I'll be listening tonight. I think all the pictures that he posts are pictures
wow.
that he takes. Yeah. Our friends Jack
I am
and
most
Jin.
Impressed.
Jack and Jin checked in. Oh, you know what's weird? Talk about webbing. This is the anniversary, 65 years ago, Rocky and Bullwinkle. Debuted on
yeah.
television 65 years ago. I was shocked when I read, because I never missed it. I mean, I was a little person, and I loved Rocky and Bullwinkle. It followed American Bandstand.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
yeah, 65 years ago.
Okay. By the way, you mentioned Jack and Jenna,
yes.
friends from Florida.
Yes.
And when we're back down there in about a month or so. We may check in with them again, but they've got some new stuff coming out, and they were just signed by Dolly Parton's company.
Yes.
They're going to be providing a regular performance.
They're
writing a whole... it's
a play.
Play.
Yeah. It's
that will be performed at Dolly Parton's Dinner Theater.
Right. A couple times a day to theaters, 1,000-seat theater. This is a huge break for them. I'm really, really happy for them, as are they. It's going to be a lot of work for the whole summer.
Yeah.
This will last all the way through August. So, hey to Jack and Jin checking in tonight. Also, I want to say hello to Sherry Hanrahan and her fur babies Lucy and Desi in Romeoville. Gary Stark is in River Grove. David Shine, a Sen alum, is in Mount Prospect. Stacy Drager is in Algonquin. Barb Yagelo is in North Lake. Sherry and Bob are tuned in. Lynn is in Park Ridge. Michelle Reitman is in the laboratory in Skokie. Sherry's in Morris. Jim is in Richmond. Catherine Bailey tuned in. Gail Celeste is in Tinley Park. Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru, she checked in tonight. Thank you, Diane. Liz Holland's in Naperville. Jan Kuratobi is on the northwest side of Chicago. Stuart Warren is listening, as is Laura Miller in Willowbrook. Our Bubby Bobby Danos out in Sandwich is now $20 richer. Wink, wink.
Yes. Somebody had a bet with Bobby about the Saturday's
What was I thinking?
Crosstown Series
I said,
game.
Yeah, I'll take your $30, $10 a game. I'm sure that the Sox are going to be able to beat the Cubs, blah, 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 blah. And you didn't say, honey, that's stupid.
Because I'm liking how the Sox are progressing.
Yes, they're working hard.
They really are.
Yes. Brian Lefevre is our great listener in Bridgeport. He's tuned in tonight. Judy B is in Oak Lawn. Laura Helm is listening as she wants to know, do I have a quick and easy to prepare vegetarian gluten-free meal? I don't eat meat, fish, seafood, poultry. I will work on that for next week for one of our gluten-free shows. Patricia Gerald is in Naperville from her couch. Terry Knight is in Batavia. Marsha Kinski is tuned in, listening on her iPod. Mark Goldstein is in Bethany Beach, Delaware. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Larry Mann is in Miami, Florida. Mary Gold is in Tinley Park. Rose Marie Gleason is listening with her calico tabby. She's got a houseful there in Grove, Oklahoma. Roger Camp is in Somerville, South Carolina. Robin Marone is in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. Carrie Hunt is listening in Ruskin, Florida. Kathy Bassett is in Elmhurst. And Peter Jakubowicz is tuned in from Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Thank you all. If I missed you, I promise I'll catch you next week.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Hey, hey, old bean, and you too, baby. Little after midnight mellow. Yes, we're going to be talking cars with the publisher of Consumer Guide. That would be your Tom Appel. And Tom's cartoons theme tonight is what, Tom?
It's light and easy. Music for a second date.
Light and easy.
Music for a second date.
It sounds like it should be an album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes, it should.
How are you, Tom?
I am well, thank you.
Good.
And so, who was that and what was that?
That is Akira Omori and Elvin Jones, and the album is called Trust in Blue from 1988, and that song is called I Concentrate on You, which is an old Cole Porter tune.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for people who wonder, why, since you're talking cars with Tom, why are you, is it always a Tom's tune, a cartoons theme? Because these are the songs that you check out the sound systems on the cars that you're driving,
and
right?
Yep. Tom has a wide comfort zone when it comes to music.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Well, we haven't updated this in a while, so I will say, since we're kind of getting to the midpoint, we're not quite in the midpoint of the year, but of the new cars you've tested, if you had to pick one sound system, which would be the best sound system?
Lincoln is crushing it with its Revel, R-E-V-E-L sound system.
Really?
Absolutely incredible stuff, yeah. You would think it might be a Japanese maker, but in this case, no, Lincoln's got it down. It's an incredibly good sound system. It's standard on their Black Label trim levels, which are their top trim levels, available in other models, but it's fantastic.
What makes it fantastic?
Really clean. And one of the things I've noticed about the high power systems going into a lot of cars now, many of which are very good, they're not that good at sort of normal sound levels.
Mm-hmm.
Like you need to turn it up a little bit to fully appreciate the fidelity. That is not the case with the Revel system. And part of that is also that the Lincolns are just so quiet, you can't actually enjoy music at a quieter level.
And I understand that most of our sound sources these days are digital, but too many car audio systems emphasize the digital and don't give you the natural sound.
And the warmth.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is you'll get into some sound systems, and there's this confusing array of, like, do you want to hear it in a studio or your home or a concert venue? I kind of want to hear it the way the producer wanted me to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to mess with this other stuff. It's all synthetic.
That's a good point. Yeah. What have you been driving lately?
Wow. I got out of a really nice small sedan. Kia used to build a car called the Forte. That was their compact car, mm-hmm. about the size of a Civic. They replaced that last year, really this year, with a vehicle called the K4, and it was completely redesigned. And it's a compact car about the size of a Civic or a Corolla, but those cars have grown, and it feels very much midsize. But it is sporty. It is roomy. It is affordable. There's a lot here to like. Really nice avant-garde styling. It doesn't push its luck. It just looks kind of fresh and modern.
It's beautiful. I love the headlights. I'm looking at the picture that you posted. The way the headlight just, it looks very superhero-like.
A little bit. Yeah. It's funny what they're doing with the headlights. Now, we're increasingly not seeing a box that is a traditional headlight.
Right.
These are LEDs. They come out of a narrow source, and that gives designers an awful lot of latitude to do what they want to with the design of a vehicle. And they're starting to take advantage of that, and I think it looks great.
Where are we with the aiming of the headlights? We had talked about this several weeks ago with a lot of people, and we are in that group, complaining about the headlights coming right at you. They're so bright, they're hitting you right in your face and making it difficult for you to see. And now there's been some talk about, okay, let's kind of re-aim these things. Do you know where we are with that?
I haven't heard anything new since last we talked, but I did have a discussion about this. And one of the issue twos that has to do with LED headlights specifically is that they can cast a broader beam than could the old headlights. And I think that might be part of the problem. And I think we're at a point where standards need to be set soon. And I'm sure there are standards, but I don't think they reflect the kind of experience on the road that we were used to with things like xenon gas headlights or old steel beam headlights. So I think we're still waiting for something definitive, and it is annoying.
And not everybody used to take advantage of it, but with the LED headlights, you used to have the option of, you could literally, if you read your manual and knew how to get into it, you could aim your headlights down or up or to the side or what. There were ways to do that. It was a little involved, but you could in fact do it. But now with the digital headlights, it ain't that easy.
No, it's not. And it used to be super easy back in the 80s. It was just a screw.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredibly easy, but it's gotten much more complicated. And honestly, I don't know how you specifically aim or fine-tune the aim of an LED, but I think that's a fairly complicated process.
Tom, before we take a break, you were in the Kia K4. Is that correct?
Yes.
K4. What's the story behind the name? Because that may be one of the dumber names, K4.
Yeah, it's a terrible name. And it's part of Kia's international naming strategy. So they've got the K5 midsize sedan and the K4 small sedan. And those are international names. Luckily, their crossovers are not named using that convention.
Hmm.
I want them to go back, as much as I like a lot of Kias, please go back to a name.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm old school in that I don't need a 5 or a 9 or a 27 or a 246 DX5. No.
Well, they're putting all of
Give me a Bonneville.
They're putting all their energy into the name of the colors that they're using. Because
that's,
I think,
true.
The light blue when you were driving, Tom, wasn't that morning haze?
Morning haze.
Yeah. I'm like,
which
it's light
like a
blue.
DJ.
Yeah, morning haze.
And see, I got Jimi Hendrix going through my head right now.
Oh, I used to dance.
Morning haze all through my...
I used to dance under that name, Morning Haze.
Oh.
I did.
You'll have to show me.
On that note, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back talking cars with Tom Appel. If you want to sneak in a question, 312-981-7200. We'll take your text and try to cover a lot of ground talking cars as we do twice a month with Tom Appel here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking all things automobile with the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel. And tonight's cartoons theme, again, is what, Tom?
Light and easy music for a second date.
Light and easy music for a second date.
I want a gin and tonic when I listen to this music. I
just so want.
Why? You know, I'm just like, this is a cozy bar.
Like the Redhead Piano Bar or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of hanging. It's like the bar I used to work at, Rick's Cafe. And, you know, just kind of cozy. And, well, anyway.
So who was that and what was it?
That was Broadway by Ray Bryant off the album Godfather from 2002.
That's nice.
And before we get too far afield, if people want to get in touch with you or if they want to check out Consumer Guide, where should they go? What should they do?
Yeah, just check us out at consumerguide.com. That's where our 2025 Best Buy list. You can just stream episodes of our podcast right there, or you can download episodes of the podcast anyplace. And if you want to reach me, it's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
And some of the new things on Consumer Guide's website right now are what?
Interesting article this week about the Ram 1500 Express. Ram has had a little difficulty selling vehicles since they redesigned the Ram 1500 pickup. Traditionally, it's been a very strong seller, but it's slipped a little bit. And part of the problem is price. Ram used to sell a vehicle called the Ram Classic, which was actually an old generation of the vehicle that they sold alongside the new generation. They didn't advertise this. They didn't talk about it. But if you went to the dealership and you found the payments daunting, the salesman might move you over to the Classic. But that disappeared when they redesigned the Ram. So they're bringing back a very affordable version of the Ram, and that's called the Express. And this doesn't sound inexpensive unless you've been pricing pickups, but the Express starts about $45,000.
Didn't Stellantis do the same thing for a while with the Chrysler Pacifica and the Dodge Caravan?
Yes, and now there's actually a cheap version of the Pacifica that is called the Voyager, which is the old Plymouth brand for the minivan.
In fact,
and that's the least expensive.
Wasn't the Voyager what really started the whole minivan craze?
Yeah, the Voyager and the Caravan way back in, I think that was 1984, when the minivans kicked off. But there was the Plymouth Voyager, the Dodge Caravan, and they kind of changed the world of transportation.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of transportation and things that are changing, it's been a rough year for Ford. Did I read this right, that Ford has experienced their 51st recall of 2025?
Yeah, Ford has had terrible luck with recalls. And I guess luck isn't it, right? At this point, I think we have to assume and just call it what it is. It's a quality issue. And they've been dealing with a lot of recalls, and enough recalls that this is affecting their profitability. And one of the problems with recalls and with warranty claims, they take a huge hit on your bottom line. And this is hurting Ford at a time when Ford can't, and really no manufacturer can afford to be wasting money on quality issues. But yeah, it's a big problem.
And this has been an issue for Ford for a while, to my knowledge, and I'll tell you why. Back when we were looking for a new car, we were looking at some Ford products, some Lincoln products, and even at that point, and this was, what, 2 years ago, hon, that we were hearing lots of stories from people about Ford's quality control. So this has been kind of a long problem that one would think, because quality control is really kind of the price of admission these days. You would think they would have dealt with that.
But I think in this latest one, Tom, if I'm not mistaken, it has something to do with the supplier.
Well, recalls are often actually supplier-based.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it's the engineers at the OEM, the original equipment manufacturer, that are responsible for making that part work and knowing whether or not the quality is there.
Of course.
But yeah, we are, Johnny, to your point, yes, some of these problems are not the fault of the manufacturer directly.
So this latest is the Ford Super Duty models that were built on March 23rd of this year could have cracked fuel lines. This sounds very serious, and you have to take it back to your Ford or Lincoln dealer to get it fixed. You know, I'm thinking, out of all the things that could happen, having fuel just spilling out of your car is not a good thing.
No, thank you.
And I think I was reading, too, that the fuel line actually goes through the engine bay, which makes it even more potentially dangerous, right?
Yeah, you don't want a lot of fuel going loose under the hood. It's very hot down there.
So I guess you were going to be notified if you have one of these vehicles by the manufacturer to take it back to get it replaced and repaired. That just reminded me of the time when I fell asleep when I was driving on the East-West Tollway. Bear with me while I tell you this tale, kids, okay? So I fell asleep, and when I did, I drove off the off the expressway, the tollway, and smacked one of those reflector poles that are along the side of the road. And when I smacked it, thank God it was there, it slowed me down. It woke me up and slowed me down. But it whipped underneath my car and punctured my gas tank. I did not know this. I was just saying, thank you, Lord, I've survived. I pulled back on the road, and as I'm driving, a semi is laying on the horn. And I realized, well, something's going on. I pull over, and he jumps on, and he goes, hey, as you're accelerating, you're losing gas, and you're sparking. I could have blown up, right? And I was like, okay, I've just survived a near-death experience, and now I'm driving in a deathmobile. And he said, I was very young, and he said, you are not leaving here. I have a daughter your age. You are not leaving. We're going to get somebody to come out here and take this car. And they gave me, I kept it for the longest time, that reflector pole that I hit, and it was like a figure eight, and it had whipped up inside the gas tank.
Tom, I will share that this is roughly the same time span. When Johnny and I first were becoming acquainted. And one day, walking out of the radio station, she said, I wonder if you could take a look at my car. I had, there's this
ticking sound.
Ticking noise. And she started it, and I heard the ticking noise. And I said, have you checked your oil?
Oh, no.
I had dust. There was dust in there.
Literally, no oil.
It was dust. It was a great car, too, and it just kept running. It was just ticking very loudly.
Now, this wasn't the Grand Prix, was it?
It was.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The Grand Prix SJ, which, as I said, was a very cool car.
It's a great car.
Yeah. It's the same car that I pulled into a gas station, and I said, what is this light on my dash? And he said, lady, those are your brights. You have your brights.
But it did have a very cool thing because the person that owned it before you had it
had it equipped for his daughter.
He had this little switch under the right under the dashboard.
It was a siren. So if somebody came toward his daughter, he said he wanted her to hit the siren, and I loved it because I was ready. You mess with me because it was a full blown.
Oh,
siren!
Yeah. It was the gendarmes will come.
They're
now.
Here. Yeah, yeah, you're in big trouble. Yes.
You got that siren from Wachowski's, if people remember that,
sure.
You might play La Cucaracha, which might help you too. I think that would draw attention.
Oh. Is Wachowski still around? I used to love their catalogs.
Someone has picked up the franchise. I don't think it's the same company, but someone is licensing it for an auto supply place. So it
huge.
Is theoretically still around, but it's not the same fun place.
Because that was a near south, I believe,
was
in Chicago?
Was it on State?
That sounds right.
Yeah, it does.
I think it was close to where McCormick Place is, right?
Yes. That sounds right.
I remember that.
We're going to take a break, come back, and talk more cars in the present day. So stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking all things automotive with the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel. Tonight's cartoons theme is light and easy music for a second date.
Not a first date or a third date, but a second date.
So you are convinced that for a second date, you need to overwhelm the person with piano music.
piano music, but it's classy. It's sort of background-y, and I think that, you know, maybe you've had her over, you're making her a pizza, you don't want to push your luck. It's way too soon to roll out the Devo bootlegs, so this... You need her to know as little about your music as possible for a while, and I think that this is a first buffer.
But I have to ask.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm chuckling about.
Because Tom always sends us a list. I mean, he comes up with these are, you know,
legitimate songs.
Songs that he's come up with. He comes up with a theme. And the theme, as we said, is light and easy music for a second date.
Yeah.
And he gave us four choices. And then he has a fifth choice, a bonus. But I notice that, so this was light and easy music for a second date. I notice the bonus cut is from the Talking Heads, from their Naked album. So are you assuming that this second date thing kind of leads to something? What's the subtext here, Tom?
That is not where I was going. However,
music
is so good. This music is so good. Anything can happen.
That's right. See, that would be the sticker on the CD. The music is so good. Wink, wink. Anything could happen.
And then there's a second adult advisory.
That's right. Yes.
By the way, before we get into the other automotive things, I want to go back to what we're talking about on consumerguide.com. And we're talking about the Kia K4. And I'm looking at the picture. This is the picture where you have the picture of the tire. And is it just me, or with most vehicles lately, are we seeing more and more, how do I phrase this? It's going to come off dumb anyway I phrase it, so I'll just phrase it. We're seeing more and more wheel and less rubber.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Why?
Because it looks good and it feels, designers feel that it fills the wheel well better. So tire contributes to the black space and it can make the wheels look small. But if you go with aluminum all the way out that far, it looks bigger. It gives the car a cleaner look. So when I was selling tires back in the 80s, most cars had 13s, 14s, or 15-inch tires.
Mm-hmm.
It is rare to see a car now without 16s. And I believe the ones we're looking at here might be 18s.
But what does that decrease in rubber do to the ride?
Everything. It's an engineering nightmare. You're losing rubber sidewall that used to contribute to cushioning and to quietness. So this is all fashion. And there's almost nothing here that really aids in the actual dynamic effect on the vehicle. Now, if you have less sidewall, the car does theoretically handle better. But a car like the K4 isn't really designed for dramatic handling. It's a good handling car. It's sporty. But it's not a sports car. So these super narrow sidewalls probably aren't delivering the end effect that they could.
So,
also, these are super expensive to replace.
That was the next thing I was going to say. If you decide, okay, I want better tires on my brand new car, you're going to be out a couple $1,000s right there.
And if you are a luxury manufacturer and you're pitching quietness, you would have more rubber on the tires to increase that quietness?
You would want to, but luxury customers love 21 and 22-inch wheels and tires. So you're fighting that. It's funny. It's this thing that doesn't seem necessary. The big wheel thing is so useful in sales. It's actually a problem on electric vehicles. The larger wheels hurt range. So that if you look at a lot of electric vehicles, Tesla, the Lexus RZ, you'll see that there are two ranges given, one for the standard wheels and one for the optional wheels. And it seems like a ridiculous thing to give up range for, but consumers do it.
And it's mainly for fashion. It's just what pleases the eye.
Yep, there's very little there that actually does anything positive for rider handling.
Wow.
Well, this has been an educational.
Yeah, I'm going to be looking at wheels and tires now. Okay, there is a lawsuit Yeah. And it's been going on for, what, a couple of years now, right? This is a Nissan lawsuit. And it looks like in this past week that we may finally see a decision. I guess there's going to be a final hearing sometime in July. But this was a lawsuit for the folks who owned the Nissan with the CVT.
Yep.
And they were claiming...
And jargon alert, continuously variable transmission.
Yep.
And there were problems with the transmission, so a lot of folks were out of warranty and they had to pay out of pocket for repair, so they ended up with a class action suit. Am I right, Tom?
Yeah, and there's a lot of cool things about the CVT. They do actually afford better, typically better acceleration and better fuel economy than a stepped gear transmission, something that might be 6, 7, or 8 fixed gears. Mm-hmm. The problem is they haven't proven reliable, or they didn't prove reliable in the earliest versions of them. And like Honda and Subaru and Nissan now all put CVTs on most of their vehicles, and they're not having troubles with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the early CVTs that Nissan used were problematic, and they tended to fail. And even though people were being alerted that they needed to change the oil of the transmission more often, ultimately did fail. Now, these lawsuits affected vehicles between 2013 and 2018, and there's different settlements for different vehicles,
mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. But they tend to include reimbursement for repairs that took place out of warranty, extended warranties in some cases. And it just occurred to me that I'm actually in the settlement.
Oh.
My daughter drives a 2016 Juke, Nissan Juke. But I think they're hammering this stuff out now. But it looks like the settlements are pretty extensive, and people are going to get the reimbursements they deserve.
And that could be
how far back does this
2013 on some models.
So I know someone else that's going to be a part of this.
Yeah, that just popped into my head.
Yeah. Folks could end up getting as much as $5,000 back to reimburse them for the out-of-pocket transmission repairs. What got my attention about this story was the fact that the attorneys, have you seen this, Tom? The attorneys will walk away $3.5 million richer.
I did not see that number.
Yeah.
Wow.
$3.5 million for the attorneys. You, who had the headache and the heartache, might get $1,000. If you're lucky, you'll get $5,000. That's amazing.
Yeah,
but
class actions are fabulous.
The flip side argument to that would be, without the attorneys, you wouldn't be getting anything.
That's true.
Yeah, very true. Well, listen to you being all rational. Gee.
I'm sorry.
Are there any other recalls that we should mention, Tom?
Well, we were just talking about Ford, and there's another Ford recall that matters, and it's kind of a big deal. It is the Ford 2022 through 2024 Ford Expedition and Lincoln Navigator, and it's a lot of cars. It's up to 275,000 cars, maybe affected by a faulty master cylinder. That's the brake pump, and it's it is leaking under the hood, unfortunately, and affecting the front brake performance. So Ford claims that only 1% of the vehicles being recalled will be effective, but it's a headache for all 275,000 owners. Word goes out on that May 30th.
Okay, we have a listener that said they have a 2021 Cadillac Escalade and heard that there is a GM recall. Was the 2021 included in that recall? Do you know, Tom?
I think it was 2021 through 2024, and we were talking about the big 6.2-liter V8 that is standard in the Escalade. And we talked about how that was going to affect the motor oil used.
Right.
So, and it turns out, we talked about this last time I was on, that the heavier oil is going to affect fuel economy, and that has, in fact, raised the ire of some customers. So we'll see if there's any additional financial compensation here.
Just before we break... this just in at 312-981-7200. Brian is enjoying the cartoons tonight. He says, I play piano music every time I do dishes.
Excellent.
Very good. We are going to take a break, and I want to quickly mention this. When Stephen Johnny, would you please elaborate on what you did and did not like about the touchpad controller in the Lexus NX you reviewed? I like the 22RX, which also had one, and I'm considering purchasing one. Tom, please also chime in. So we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll address that and a lot more with Tom Appel here on WGN.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking all things automotive with Consumer Guide's publisher, Tom Appel. And tonight's cartoons theme is light and easy music for a second date.
And that
you naked baby.
Sit down, Wolfman.
It was what, Tom?
That was Parisian Thoroughfare by Rene Ertreger. I spelled that wrong in the email. It's Ertreger.
And that's going on your permanent record.
I'm sorry.
And that's from?
That is off an album called Jazz in Paris, 50 Reasons to Love Paris. Although I don't think that's the first recording of it. I think that song goes back to the late 50s.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this text came in from Dan Lewandowski, formerly of Norridge, now in Wichita Falls, Texas. Dan is a wise man. He called us the Regents of Radio. I rather like that.
Checks in the mail, Dan.
That's a good title.
How about this? The Fabulous Thunder Words. I also like that. The Fabulous Thunder Words. And he asked the question about the touchpad on the Lexus NX. And we were talking off the air about that because when we road tested vehicles, we kept them for just a week. And one of our frustrations was with the touchpad was it would require you to take your eyes off the road.
And if you want to see this, you can go to our YouTube channel and you will see our video road tests. And yeah, that was... We liked a lot about that vehicle, but anything that makes you take your eyes off the road drives me nuts.
Now, if we had it for months, maybe you just get used to it and it's second nature and you don't have to look down, but initially that wasn't the case.
Well, and I know one of the other vehicles that we had a similar complaint with was one of the BMWs.
Yes.
And it was with their first...
They had a joystick, didn't they?
It was all, and yeah, you really had to take your eyes off the road to...
High drive, yeah.
High drive,
hated
yes.
that.
So what was your experience, Tom, with the Lexus in particular? Because apparently Dan is looking to possibly get a 22RX.
Yeah, I don't know exactly why Lexus delved into the touchpad thing, but it lingered for far too long. But for people who don't know what we're talking about, you actually used your thumb and your finger on what was like basically a flat trackpad, and it was a nightmare because you kind of had to position your hands correctly. And Toyota and Lexus make so few mistakes. This one seems like such a huge bungle, yeah, but it was universally disliked by the media, by consumers, and they did finally, it's not in any of their vehicles anymore, thankfully.
And you reminded me that one of the problems I had was long fingernails.
Yes.
I was so frustrated because I couldn't get my pad of my finger down flat. Mm-hmm. To just instinctively reach over there and do maneuvers because I'm like, okay, all right, no.
And that kind of went back to one of the reasons that Johnny and I started doing this,
yes,
other than the fact that we both have an interest in all things automotive, but to show the difference between how does a male react or a female react. And most times, a lot of our differences had to do with fingernails.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like door handles and buttons on dashboards. And I can remember saying, I can't push the radio because the button mm-hmm. would slip right under a fingernail. And it was very frustrating. And then we were told, but we have more women now designing vehicles. And so they're being super sensitive and aware of this. And what was the Pontiac that was... Their claim to fame was it was completely designed by women.
Oh,
and remember that
Pontiac?
Time? Yeah.
No, I'm thinking of the Dodge La Femme, but that goes very far back.
Yeah, yes. That goes back to like 56 or 7. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a name for a car, too.
Yeah.
Well, do you guys know the story about that?
No.
It did not capture the attention of the women, but it did capture the attention of men who had a lot of women in their employ. If you know what I'm talking about.
Oh!
It was very embarrassing for Dodge.
Oh!
And they had the swing-out seats, and didn't they have the pink version?
Yeah, General Motors played with the swing-out seats for a little while. The Chevy Monte Carlo had it for a few model years. And I wonder why they may have been a passive restraint issue, something to do with seatbelts, because people liked them.
Talking about that era of cars and that era of Chrysler Corporation cars... One of my favorite cars from that era was the DeSoto Adventurer.
Oh, sure.
What a gorgeous-looking vehicle.
DeSoto, yeah, that just sounds old when I hear DeSoto. I'm like, okay, are we talking Edsel?
But that was just kind
of about that time.
That was sort of the Chrysler nomenclature, Plymouth, DeSoto, that whole this is how America was founded. That was their frame of reference.
DeSoto was interesting too because it was a market position that Chrysler didn't otherwise have, and it was more or less high end Pontiac or like mid level Oldsmobile.
Yeah,
and during the 50s, there was an awful lot of exuberance, and people were willing to pay a little bit extra for a car to get the styling and performance. And DeSoto made a lot of money for Chrysler,
and that was when Chrysler was trying to match General Motors brand for brand for a while.
Yep. Yeah, we lost DeSoto, and you know, we lost a lot of mid-level brands like that over time.
Okay, before we run out of time, a listener said, Tom, do you have any idea what one can do if they're of an age where the bright headlights are just dangerous when they're coming at them, you're driving? I'm thinking maybe you need to get your eyes checked because you could be dealing with cataracts, because I'm dealing with that now where bright lights coming at me are all diffused. And
But also there is, and I know nothing about these. I've only seen ads for them. There are, Tom, have you seen the ads for the, they're like clip-on glasses that you flip down at night and it really minimizes that glare?
I have seen the ads. It seems like a great idea. I have no idea if they're effective.
You know, we should get them and try them, because I've literally stopped driving at night because, especially when we're, for example, Hollywood, driving toward Lakeshore Drive, mm-hmm. and the oncoming traffic it's intense and there's a lot of it. And I say, I can't drive because they're just like fireballs coming at me because the lights are so diffused.
Literally, that is one of the reasons why in the month or so, Johnny is going to have cataract surgery, because she doesn't drive at night anymore.
Tom, a listener says, thank you for confirming my suspicion about the crazy tire diameter insanity.
It always feels, I've had that conversation often.
Feels good, though, when you hear someone on the radio say something. You go, see, people, I've been
it
saying
does.
That.
Vindication.
Exactly.
Any other blatant plugs for Consumer Guide, things people should check out?
Wow. Just a lot of podcast stuff coming up. Monday. It'll be out late Monday, early Tuesday. We talked to the folks at Ford. Ford is making $4 million available for scholarships for up-and-coming auto technicians. There is a huge shortage of auto techs in the world, and especially a huge shortage of good auto techs. So Ford is taking this initiative, so we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk a little bit about how being a mechanic now is so much cooler than being a mechanic 40 years ago.
Really?
It's an entirely different job. You stay cleaner. You're doing more diagnostic work. It's more computer-oriented. It's a very different job. It can be very rewarding.
And Tom,
speaking of more computer-oriented, I saw the pictures that your cohort, Jill Simonello, put up. She did a tour of it. Was it the Hyundai factory? Where it's one of the new Hyundai factories, and in one of the last things, they have a computer dog that
a
is
robot.
Walking. It's a robot dog that is checking things. It's mind-boggling, but that's where we are today.
Yeah, we live in a very high-tech world.
Well, I have a feeling that there are some guys that like to go out to the garage. It's their man cave. And they're saying, no, Tom, no. It was much better when you could pop the hood and just get dirty.
Yeah, and see,
you got to know computers now.
The first thing that jumps into my head is I can remember my dad. Now, this really dates me. My dad telling me about the first car that he and my uncle got. One of the first things they did is they completely tore it apart so they would know how to rebuild it if something went wrong with it.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me, though, we've got a security guard here in this building. His name is Isaac.
Yes.
And Isaac is in his 30s, and he can see us park on his computer screen, and he commented on our car.
He has a 2005 Ford 500. It came with a six-cylinder engine. It now has an eight-cylinder engine. He did it.
Oh,
he
wow.
got the engine
he went
from
to a,
eBay.
No, he went to an auction.
Did he go
car
to an auction?
Auction.
Okay.
He got that engine and did it himself. And we said, how? He said, because my dad is an old school mechanic and I've been watching him since I was 12.
Okay, there's more magic to it than that because that's a transverse arrangement.
That's crazy.
So he either made some huge modifications or he made some huge modifications. Because he had to turn a V8 sideways, which isn't easy.
You know what?
Or he turned the whole car north-south. Very complicated.
We're going to ask him tonight.
Yes.
Because he loves to talk about his car.
And maybe if it works in with his schedule, we'll see if we can get him to
explain it
the next time you're
awesome.
On.
Yes. I have questions.
Can you imagine to go from we just stood there and went, you what? And he goes, yeah. Like, it's like, doesn't everybody do that? No.
He had to fabricate stuff. Like, there's more. He's being humble.
Yes.
He definitely has my respect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As do you. People want to follow you. Go to Car Guy Tom on Blue Sky. And consumerguide.com, and what else?
That's it, Car Stuff Podcast. You can download it anywhere.
All right, Tom, thank you. As always, it's a pleasure
to
chat with you and catch up with you. And Haboobs, you were the first.
Oh, yeah,
you were the first one to post that.
You were the first one to do that.
You survived the Haboob.
I did.
Thank you, Tom. Take care.
Take care, guys.
Your sports team. Vastly inferior, that simple fact is plainly obvious to see. We're gonna kick your collective posterior. Of course you realize we're speaking figuratively. Our stats are thoroughly impressive. Our coach really has a mite of slash. Our players are fast and strong and brave. And your guys, not so much.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And yes, sports fans, it's time for another edition of Sports Between the Sheets. And Gabe, there is so much to talk about tonight, the Cubs Sox series, of course. But let's start with the Bears' schedule. What do you think?
Their road schedule scares me.
Does it?
So week two, they go to play Ben Johnson's former team already in Detroit. And that game is going to be, you know, a lot of emotions, a lot of nostalgia because, you know, of how he changed Detroit's offense for the better there under Dan Campbell. So that's going to be, you know, a tough game there. The week four game at the Raiders, that I'm not too concerned about. The Raiders are rebuilding. That should be a win. But then after the week five bye, week six, they go back to our nation's capital. Mm-hmm. The place where last year's 10-game losing streak started with the Hail Mary gone wrong, as we all remember. And
this one is going to be an evening game on ABC, right?
Monday night, I believe, yes.
Oh, geez.
So and Washington has gotten better since last season. They've added quite a bit of talent. Mm. Then 2 weeks later, they go back to the Beltway to take on the Baltimore Ravens. Right off the bat, the defense is going to have to contend with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson, one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the league today. I think he's today's Michael Vick. Hmm. And Derrick Henry, even though he's in his 30s, he's still, you know, one of the top running backs in the league when healthy. Mm-hmm. They just gave him a nice contract extension for what he's done. And, of course, the Ravens are consistently one of the top defenses in the league every year. Next week, the following week, they're at Cincinnati. Not too worried about that. They have some issues they got to work out there in Cincinnati. I know that, you know, some players in the offseason contracts and things of that nature, it's kind of been kind of distracting for them. Then week 11 at Minnesota, that's always a tough game, division game. Then week 13, the day after Thanksgiving, they got to go play the defending champion Eagles. Yeah, and then they follow that up where they
with
return
Green Bay
and where they ended up winning,
and that's the one that really has my attention because they play Green Bay. And then 2 weeks later, they play Green Bay.
Exactly. they have Cleveland in between those games, so that should be a win for them. But again, you know, like the way that they have Green Bay condensed, and of course, Caleb Williams undefeated at Lambeau Field. By the way, we gotta put that out.
That's
there.
That's right. Yes.
And then they go to San Francisco, week 17, and you know the Bears have not won there in forever. That's always a struggle there.
And that's Sunday night TV.
Right. So, and then they finish the season at home against Detroit. Mm. But, yeah, you know, you take a look at that road schedule is what worries me. Those are going to be a lot of tough games.
Yeah. Wow. I'm also glad that you probably saw a schedule that was released days before the official schedule. And I don't know how this got started. But I looked at it and I thought, oh, no, they're playing on Christmas Day. But that was not true. I don't know who went to all the trouble to make up a fake schedule and put it up.
I think that was AI generated.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't buy in completely to those leaks unless they come from official sources, which like the international games, when those got leaked out, the NFL had to come out and say, yeah, that's true.
Right.
But I usually wait until the official schedules come out because, you know, just like Steve said, AI and, you know, other you know, misinformation out there regarding that. I was actually surprised that so much got leaked ahead of the schedule release.
Yeah. Well, personally, I was concerned that they were going to play on Christmas Day because we have family over on Christmas. We have Bears fans. And I thought, no, they're going to be in the living room while we're trying to eat dinner.
They're going to be drunk screaming at the TV.
That's right. Yes. Yep. Oh, wow.
I'm optimistic about this season.
I am as well. But, you know, like I said, those road games are really going to show us what the Bears are made of when the fall comes.
All right. In the last 48 hours, there's been a lot of talk about the Bears finally deciding they'll be moving to Arlington Heights.
And my reaction to that is the Bears haven't finally decided anything. They keep ping-ponging. Okay, what are they going to say this week and next week? Yeah. They go back and forth. It's who knows?
Well, actually, they did tell the Tribune this week that it sounds like that they're pretty much decided that they're just going to go with Arlington Heights. I honestly, you know, I will say that the renderings of the new Lakefront Stadium were very impressive, but I didn't think that was going to happen. I honestly believe that that was just a ploy to get Arlington Heights to, you know, rethink their stance on the property tax
thing.
Because remember, what started all this was the Bears bought the racetrack. They purchased the land. They tore down the old racetrack.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, the village decided to hike the property taxes on that land, even though the Bears hadn't done anything with it yet. And keep in mind, their lease at Soldier Field doesn't expire till like 2030-something. So they hadn't done anything yet. They hadn't built anything. They just tore down the racetrack. And all of a sudden, you know, now they're being asked to pay more money. I mean, again, not that they can't afford it, but, you know, I understand where the Bears are coming from a business standpoint. They hadn't put any value into that land yet. They hadn't started building anything. They hadn't broke ground on anything. And all of a sudden, you're saying, hey, we want you guys to pay X amount of money now because you're the Bears.
Yeah,
and I, you know, when I looked at those renderings, again, they were impressive. But the first thing I said to myself is, where are you going to have everybody park? Because you're turning old Soldier Field into a permanent park.
Yep.
And then you're going to build the new stadium in the south lot of Soldier Field with the Airy Crown Theater next to that. So, you know, for me, it was like, you know, I didn't think that was going to be realistic. But like I said, the renderings were nice and they were very impressive to look at. Certainly, whoever went through the trouble of making those, I hope they were very well compensated for that. But I kind of figured that it was just a ploy just to get Arlington Heights to play ball as far as the taxes went.
Interesting.
I want to segue for a second, and we're going to get to the Crosstown series in a minute. But I want to stay with football. But speaking of where do you put the cars, okay, staying with football, moving to Northwestern, their new stadium. We live in the north suburbs. We're very familiar with that area. I don't understand how the heck they're going to fit all the traffic into that area for not only football, but for concerts.
Yeah.
That is going to be just horrible.
What? You know, I've only seen renderings of what the new Ryan Field will look like. I don't know if there's any renderings of outside of it. Obviously, the basketball arena is right next to it, but I remember going to Ryan Field to cover Northwestern football, and the thing is, like, it's weird how they have it set up because the parking lots in front of the stadium are for university personnel only. The parking lot on the east end of the stadium is roughly the same thing, and the one on the west end is where they had all the RVs parked. I mean, there really wasn't much for fans to do. When the media, when I would go and cover these games, they would send us into the parking garage at Evanston Northwestern Hospital. That's where we had to park. And then we had to walk. We had to walk a few blocks to get to the stadium because there just wasn't much parking. I hope that they, you know, found a way to remedy that. I mean, maybe they'll build their own parking garage. I'm not sure, but I know. Obviously, there's a lot of concerns, especially with the concert aspect. People are worried about the noise and things like that.
Sure.
And I remember going to football games, and I'd see people, you know, say, hey, we'll charge you this much and let you park in our driveways. And the house is right behind
Oh, sure.
all that. basketball was a different story. There wasn't as many people, so the lots were easier to access. The east lot and the west lot were where they let everybody park, and then of course the south lot was still reserved for university personnel. So obviously football, you got more people because before they tore it down, the football stadium held up to like 40,000-50,000 people, something mm-hmm. like that. Hmm. Which compared by the rest of college football standards, not much, but for the area they're in, that's
a lot.
That's significant, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let me segue for a second. Oh, and speaking of sports, very quickly, I will mention that next week we're going to be talking with Dane Neal to get a preview of the Indy 500.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those I'm slapping myself upside the head. It's next week? Yeah, it's next week. And
Memorial
I love
Day
the
weekend.
Indy 500. And I love the fact that this radio station is carrying the Indy 500.
Harkening back to the old days.
Yeah.
And the Indy 500 is one of the few races I'll watch during the year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch a ton of racing, but that's like one of the races that I'll that I'll probably get the chance to look at.
Crosstown Classic. Cubs, Sox.
No surprises.
Obviously, it's been the Cubs. But And I know I'm a Southsider, I'm a Sox fan. I'm enjoying watching the Sox, and even though the Cubs have done it so far, I wouldn't be surprised if the Sox come back and win one on Sunday.
They're trying.
You know, that's been the pattern that the Cubs have been in lately, that they win, two out of three or three or four. I don't know how many sweeps they exactly have, and I know it's not many. But obviously, Cubs fans are hoping that they'll pull it off today. They just might. But, look at what the White Sox did in their last series against Cincinnati.
Yeah. Yeah.
They lost that first game, and then, after that, they came back and kind of got themselves back together, so to speak.
Well,
the last game didn't quite work out, but in between, they pulled out a win in Cincinnati. So
that was the Pope effect.
Yeah.
When they found, because now they're going to have a place in the stands where he was sitting during the first game of the World Series,
that.
And there's going to be, you can have your picture taken with the Pope. Come here and sit next to him, and it's a cool idea.
With the rebuilding that they're going through, the White Sox need every prayer that they can get.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And Cubs fans will tell you that they went through that same thing not too long ago. So
yeah.
But obviously, the thing I like about the Crosstown Classic is, crowds into it, stadium's always full.
Oh, sure. It's a World Series atmosphere.
Right. And but we're looking at, a tale of two different teams. Obviously the Cubs are already playoff contenders, eight games above 500. Yeah. They're in first place. White Sox are, still rebuilding after the last competitive team that they had, flamed out before they could even, achieve anything. And it was kind of sad to see, as we've talked about on this program many times. So, but at the same time, we've also, like I've said, earlier in the season when we talked baseball, the White Sox have shown some improvement as far as fundamentals go. It hasn't always translated to wins. Mm-hmm. But, occasionally, they'll get good performances out of their pitching. Every now and then they'll get just enough offense to put themselves in a position to win. And, when they have won, it's, games that they grinded out and, managed to do just enough to best the other team. So, so it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility that they can walk out of Wrigley with a win later today. Whether or not that'll happen remains to be seen.
I think the Cubs should give it to them. Just say, we feel sorry for you, so we're going to
forfeit. Yeah.
Well, I had one other thought Saturday. And obviously, we love this radio station, but having said that, how lucky are we as Chicago baseball fans? You have two of the best radio broadcast teams in the country right here in this city,
mm-hmm.
with Pat and Ron and with Len and DJ. I mean, even if one of their teams is not playing, it's still a great broadcast to listen to.
Very enjoyable.
Well, and every team needs to have a Pete Crow Armstrong. I mean,
he's
a delightful human being. I saw pictures of him in the stands with fans who have guys who have done their hair like him because he's bleached his hair.
Yeah.
And so he's just taking selfies with, oh, you did your hair just like mine. Come over here. Let's take a selfie. And I thought, could there be any more normal
I love him.
Person. I mean, he's just like a cool guy that's, you get the feeling too, he's kind of having a pinch me moment. Like, can this be really happening to me? I'm not only a good baseball player, but everybody's loving on me. So it's pretty cool.
And the way that he has brought a spark to that lineup at the top of the order has definitely been a big reason why the Cubs have had the success that they've had.
Very impressive.
I mean, obviously, you know, remember they got swept in those two games in Japan, and we were like, eh, we don't like where this is going. And then then they picked it up, and they've been off to the races ever since. So, and Pete Crow Armstrong has certainly been a big reason for that. And, you know, the thing is that impresses me about him is his speed when he's on those bases.
He's a kid. He's great.
I mean, like, he's hard to get out, and you don't want him on base because, you know, because like I said, he's getting more than likely he's going to score all the way from first base if you give him the chance.
Well,
that note, we will bring Sports Between the Sheets to a close, and we will jump between the sheets again next week. This is the point in the show where Johnny and I start to look at our list of things that we wanted to get to that we're probably not going to get to. And one of them is there is a place that Johnny and I didn't go to a lot. I believe the last time we were there, it was with Bob Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who are longtime Chicagoans, if you remember the Lowry's Prime Rib location, and which had, was it the pate that we had? It was a...
No, that wasn't.
What was it? It was
we had prime rib when we went to Lowry's.
But they also had some kind of a pate that we liked.
No. You're getting it confused with the place on the east side of the street. Yes. Yeah, with the liver pate.
Really?
Yes, yes. Of course, there's Myron and Phil's, which we also love.
Myron
there
and Phil's
with,
is wonderful.
Yeah, and liver pate on paper, it was just like,
it sounds awful, tastes wonderful if it's done right.
With matzo crackers, unbelievable.
Anyhow, Lowry's, the famous, for years and years and years, Lowry's location has been sold, and now it is being turned into...
It's going to be turned into a magic theater, restaurant, bar. Everything is going to be magic, all about magic. The bartenders are going to be magicians, the wait staff.
So the bartender will just magically appear next to your table with your drink?
No. They do magic at the bar. Because Chicago really has a great reputation for magician bartenders.
Yeah.
And they're going to continue with that tradition. They're talking about how it's going to be like a $50 million undertaking, and it's going to take up this entire area, which is like a block long. It was the McCormick Mansion.
And apparently this is going to be an adults-only magic theater.
I'm all for it. I love a good magic show.
The name of it is going to be The Hand and the Eye, and it's slated for a spring 2026 opening. It will have 37 magic rooms, seven theaters, live jazz music, and more. This sounds really cool.
I'm like, where are you going to get all these people? I guess between now and then, they'll figure it out. But I'm really excited about that. Far more than a casino in downtown Chicago, I love the idea of a magic theater for adults only. Time for our news update here on WGN.
Sometimes when my back was up against the wall, but maybe I was just wrong. But I remember that time you saw me in the mirror. I don't think anybody ever saw me clearer. One thing's true, you see right through what I'm trying to be.
King and Johnny Putman, at WGN Radio. Next week, live in studio with us, The Empty Pockets.
Yep. That was Dealer's Choice. That was a good call, Julian.
Yeah, nice one, Julian.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it's a new one, too.
Well, they will have to perform that live in the studio with us.
Love the guitar that he's playing on that, too. Yeah. That's our buddy Josh, and that's Erica singing lead. I was just looking for the big news from the Empty Pockets in this last week, and we'll talk about this next week on the show with them. But the big news is their new live album with Al Stewart broke the top 10 Billboard blues albums. And on that list, you will find number one is Etta James, the soundtrack from Sinners.
Right.
Followed by Chuck Berry, then Bonnie Raitt, another Etta James, and God bless them, the Empty Pockets are in the top 10 of the best.
That.
It is amazing and wonderful for them, too. And we'll talk next week about their concert that's coming up in July. We already got our tickets for the concert. It's going to be at the North Shore Performing Arts Center. And it's a fundraiser for Will's Place. And Al Stewart's going to be there.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really cool.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun next week. Empty Pocket. And we should also mention next week, we are going to check in with Dane Neal, who'll be down in Indianapolis. He'll give us a preview of the 500. Patrick Crispin will join us. We'll talk technology. Boy, a lot of things to get to, including some people have been asking since we teased it a little bit about your routers and if you've got an older router, what do you need to know about? So we'll get all that. A bunch of things to get to next week, but some things that we still haven't got to, and we want to mention a couple things before we get out of here. One of them is something, I wonder how many people are up right now getting ready for what is going to be the human chain of a peaceful protest going on today, lining the sidewalks from Aurora to Little Village along Ogden and 26th Street.
30 miles of people.
It will be a peaceful protest. They're not going to be blocking streets or businesses along the route. If you want to get more information, it's handsacrossshy.com. Handsacrossshy.com. It is the Hands Across Chicagoland peaceful protest that is going to happen today. And I'm trying to see what the time is. It's supposed to be starting.
I think it's noon to 2 today.
I think you're right. Yeah, I haven't found.
Yeah, they're going to line the sidewalks. It's going to be on the sidewalks. You don't actually have to hold hands with the person in front or behind you. They just want human beings to take up that space for 30 miles. It's going to be pretty impressive if this happens.
Yeah.
The time is noon to 2 today, Sunday. Not forming a literal human chain, linked arm to arm, you will line up on the sidewalk stretching for 30 miles from Aurora to Chicago's Little Village neighborhood.
So,
I hope they've got some drone footage of that, if in fact they're able to get 30 miles of humanity lined up.
One of the other things we didn't get to, we're talking about Beyonce and concerts. The Illinois State Fair has announced some of the performers that are going to be in their grandstand. What a lineup.
Yes, and it all starts on August 8th, Friday night, August 8th. Jake Owen. I'm not real familiar. I know the name, but I'm not real familiar with Jake Owen's music, but he has a huge following. This is a big deal for him to land at the state fair.
The Black Crowes.
On Saturday. Then Megan Maroney on Sunday. Sheryl Crow will be there Tuesday, August 12th.
Snoop Dogg will be there on Wednesday, August 13th.
Have you heard he's coming back to The Voice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did hear that.
He's
coming back, and what's his face from, we like him a lot.
Nile?
Yeah, Nile
Horan. Yeah, he's coming back, too.
And
because we didn't even watch it this season. I was like, nah, I've kind of gotten over it. And
Brad Paisley is going to be at the Illinois State Fair Thursday, August 14th.
The Chainsmokers will be there on the 15th. And Def Leppard.
How cool.
I can't even believe Def Leppard's still alive and kicking. That's on Saturday, August 16th. And then the 17th will be the Turnpike Troubadours. We got to look up the Turnpike Troubadours. I hear the name, but I just don't know the music for the Turnpike Troubadours. All right, some unfinished business. That's what we try to do in this segment of the show. On our way into work tonight, I said, do you know what a sharro is?
Oh, that's right.
And you said,
And I'm thinking, no, it's not the the guitar player. That's sharro.
Sharro. That's with a C.
Yeah.
This is not sparrow, but it's sparrow with an H. So it's sharro. So we came in and I said to Julian, do you know what a sharro is? Julian, have you cheated and looked it up?
Nope. I stay true to my word.
Okay. So you did not know what a sharro was either, did you?
And I still don't.
Okay. Are you guys ready for this?
All right. And we're both sitting down.
Okay. When you're driving along Chicago streets, and you see up ahead there, painted on the road, there's a bicycle emblem, symbol.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's to indicate that that is a shared
road.
Road. And so that emblem, that symbol, is called a sharro. Really? Those are the arrows in the middle of the street with a bike symbol that indicates that bikes and cars are actually supposed to share this thoroughfare. Therefore, that would be a sharro.
If it was $1 million prize to answer that on the first choice, I would have lost that.
In my entire life, I've never heard that term. And we've talked about biking in Chicago. We've talked about rules and regulations. I did traffic for many years.
And did some marketing person get paid thousands of dollars to come up with that term?
I don't know. But in reaction, and I came across this today. Our friend Monica Eng, who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, she's a big biker. She mentioned that in one of her posts, and somebody thought it was a typo. And she said, no, that's what those symbols are. And a guy posted a picture of the T-shirts. The T-shirt reads, "Sharrows are," and it spells out the word BS. And he says, "I'm a biker and I wear this shirt because that's what they are. They are BS." So now you've learned something from the show tonight.
Oops. So
I know.
Blue lights. Lights
already.
Are starting to flicker.
Yep.
And am I here? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I hear the Zamboni.
Mm-hmm.
Big plug, Bob, riding the Zamboni.
It's getting closer.
Yep.
It's like that low hum in the background.
That means it is time for us to clear the lines and make way for our last call. If you would like to be the last call, 312-981-7200. That number again is
312-981-7200.
And if you are the last caller, as long as you have not won anything from this here radio place in the last 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first, you can win some goodies from our prize closet.
Yes, yes, yes. You do not have to have anything important to say.
If you can make a fist.
If you can hold your phone. You can make a fist and hold your phone. You can say, "Hi, I'm alive. I've been listening. Thank you very much. Give me stuff."
And tell us what your midnight snack is.
Yeah, oh, yes. Because
or what you're going on to 2 in the morning snack is.
What have we been debating in every commercial break the last hour? Should we have a hot dog when we get out? I don't know.
Yeah, tonight we're going back and forth between hot dogs and burgers.
And a hamburger. I don't know. Last week we got home and we had tuna fish and egg salad.
Yes. Because we know how to party.
It was wild. It was crazy. I already had it made up. We walked in. We were eating by 3:30. And then we had to stay up for the next 4 hours to digest that meal.
So if you would like to be our last call, 312-981-7200. And we will see who the last caller is after this.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight.
you know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Losing time. We're ready to head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
Nope. Can't stay here. No.
That is...
I cough every week.
See, that you're running out of air.
No.
Where we're...
No, I think I should never sing. I think that's the problem. I should not sing. It takes my breath away. I'm sure it takes your breath away, too, listeners.
Please you're don't like, laugh either.
What? You were saying?
I have no clue. Okay. That was a closing song by Red Peters, and yeah, mm-hmm. you can hear all of it and mm-hmm. they hear why we love it, and mm-hmm. no, we're not going to play it. Well, unless we decide that we're never going to be at this radio station again. but anyhow.
And that's not me laughing, so stop it.
You sure?
You're looking at me and saying, what are we going to eat when we get home? And we have hot dogs. And then you're going to go and tease me like that. Well, that's Julian. That goes on his permanent record. He's responsible for playing the Diane Cannon laugh from hell.
Well done, Julian.
Stop it.
That's why they pay me the medium bucks.
Right. Okay. For that, you get to choose the number for our last caller, Julian.
Rats.
Yeah.
All right. Well, since I'm number three here, clearly, I'm going to go with caller number three. That's going to be Gene in Hoffman Estates.
All right.
Hi, Gene. How are you?
I'm fine, and I feel like I've won the lottery because don't think I've ever talked to you over the air. Uh-huh. And honest to God, I listened the entire time you were on overnight.
Oh, how sweet.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You have a high tolerance level. Thank you.
We've all grown up together, right, Gene?
Well, you had different subjects, you know, every evening or something, Wednesday night and so on. It was always very interesting. And right now I'm without a computer, so I can't go back and listen with out of contest. I'm having an argument with the video provider that has three capital letters.
Yeah.
And there's someone that advertises on WGN Radio that says that they will help you select the best provider for you, and that's what I need. I'm far past the screen of needing every last thing, you know.
So I don't have to see everything.
So when you say
you're looking for a video provider, do you mean like a cable system or a computer or what are you?
Somebody advertises in the afternoons that he will help you select the best suitable, and I don't think I can sort between it all, and I don't need a lot of sports, if any. You know, there's just it's fine tuned. I really got. I can't think of what the word is.
A streaming service because if it's cable or something like that, that has to do with what's available in your area. But you do have the option of going with various streaming services.
Right. As I've been hearing y'all say, it is very easy to get the bill really high.
That. Oh, very, yeah. Very easy.
I'm going to sort through it. But what I wanted to ask you, and I just my ears just didn't catch it all. You mentioned that one of the stores, probably Northside or the city, has a special new. I don't really want to say what it is because I got to get there. Will I still have some? For a convenience for the guitar player that includes a holder.
Oh, the chair.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And the place, it's the only place I will take my guitars to to get a little TLC. It's Guitar Works in Evanston. It's at 709 Main Street.
Okay.
And
great.
If you're great. Shopping for a guitar player, it's the greatest gift. It's I think it was like $78. It's a chair with a padded seat, and on the side of the chair, it has a way that you can lean your guitar and yeah. snap it in place so it won't fall.
And if you go there, ask for Larry or Tim, and tell them we told you. By the way, do you have a pen or pencil?
Yeah, I'm headed toward paper and pen right now.
Okay.
And I've been listening careful, but I'm 84.
Well, God bless you.
You're a kid.
My short-term memory is going to hell in a handbasket.
Oh, you know what? Literally, I look at Steve and I say, what's the word? And then 5 minutes later, he looks at me and I can tell the look on his face is fill in the blank. Because, you know, we've just got so much on our minds. That's the problem, Gene. We can't remember all this stuff.
A couple. One can fill in the blank sometimes.
Yes, yes, that's the key. So, Steve, are you going to give her the phone number?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. And I want to make sure that I've got, because I've got the number in my head, but I want to make sure that I've got the right one. 847-677.
Uh-huh.
No, that's not it.
No, you're giving our phone number.
No. There was a different one.
It's late.
And that's weird because I usually always, wait a minute.
We'll get home and then we'll have a call from Jean. I'll say, oh, that's because you gave our phone number to her. That's why.
Did I hear the word Guitar Works? Did I get that down?
Yes, the
right?
name of the store is Guitar Works. It's all one word and it's 847-475-0855.
0855.
Yes, and it's a wonderful gift.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
I have a grandson that is studying drums,
mm-hmm.
piano, and guitar.
Wow.
And he just performed a recital on the piano. He's 14. He's the most serious student you ever imagine.
Well,
and I saw the video. I couldn't get in the city because the city is very far from where I live mm-hmm. in the suburbs. And I kept sitting there looking at this video, and he's wearing a beautiful long sleeve, probably silk shirt.
Mm-hmm.
He's blonde. He's sitting there, and he's just performing and performing. And I think, something's missing. I've been to recitals before. It turns out he had no sheet music. He wrote the music and memorized it.
Good for him.
And his teacher had the sheet, you know.
Yeah.
So he knew mm-hmm. if he made a mistake. He's that kind of a wonderful, wonderful kid.
Yeah, very talented. Yeah.
Yeah. He just wrote a perfect ACT high school entrance exam.
Oh,
well,
my
good
gosh.
For him. You should be very,
very,
very proud.
Of
but
yeah.
but again, the number, and this is the first time that I ever forgot it, but
yes.
it is 847-475-0855. The website is guitarworksltd.com. And it's at 709 Main Street in Evanston. And ask for Larry or Tim mm-hmm. or Michelle. And
they're all good people up there.
Tell them Steve and Johnny sent you, and they are just terrific. It really, for years, it's been the only place I will take my guitars for tender, loving care.
We are up against the clock. And again, thank you for calling and for listening to us throughout the years. We did not find out what she's snacking on tonight. A listener says, I just had Polish sausage and fried potatoes. Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yes.
She will be getting from our prize list
mm-hmm. a WGN t-shirt. And I think we will throw in, since her grandson is into music, he might enjoy the Steve and Johnny CD.
Mm-hmm. We are rapidly running out of time, but I will quickly say that our time next week, we start at 9 o'clock, full show, lots of stuff, empty pockets in studio, mm-hmm. Preview of the Indy 500, Patrick Crispin will join us.
And a whole bunch more, so be here and find out.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us.